Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Columbus Blue Jackets are the hottest team in the NHL, and it's not just me who's saying it. CBJ moved their winning streak to 6 games last night with a 3-0 shutout of the Devils in New Jersey. Matthew Olivier scored twice in the third period. Elvis Merzlikins had 24 saves in the win, his 12th career shutout. Jackets are 5 points out of a playoff spot with 1 game left before the Olympic break. CBJ will host the Chicago Blackhawks tonight at 7. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage at 6:30. Zach Werenski will skate for Team USA in the Milan games that hold their opening ceremony Friday at 2 o'clock. The NBA trade deadline is Thursday at 3. On Tuesday, the Cavs sent Darius Garland to the LA Clippers for all-star guard James Harden. Cleveland plays Los Angeles tonight at 10:30. And in college hoops, number 23 Miami of Ohio improved to 23-0 with a 73-71 win at Buffalo. This update is sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats is a great deal waiting for you at El Vaquero from now until March 31st. Buy one quesadilla deal, get one free on the app. Terms apply.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
I got so upset at the idea of Miami of Ohio being 23-0, I stumbled over their score. Buffalo failed to make a last-second three, and the Red Hawks, the hated Red Hawks, as I drink out of an Ohio Bobcats tumbler, now have the best record in Mid-American Conference play ever. Happy First Friday, everybody. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker with you for the next 3 hours. Bo Bishop still on IR. He's day-to-day. He's got the youth sports flu. I asked him yesterday if he'd found patient zero. He said there's about 18 of them.
That sounds about right. Jeez.
It's tough out there this time of the year, Joshua.
Yeah, it's
how you
not
feeling?
Great. I am good. Like I said yesterday, I got sick early in the illness season, and I feel like my immunity is up. I built the antibodies. I can fight anything now.
All right.
So I'm glad I actually went through it earlier rather than later.
It's good that you got it out of the way because you're about to get into a metal tube and head out to San Francisco.
Brother, people there.
And the airport is a place.
We should have just a whole segment one day about things that people do in airports, on planes, that you just shouldn't do, period, in shared spaces.
I was in the metal tube this past weekend, a couple of them, and so far, nothing. So I think I have faith in you.
I feel like with the pretzels and the drink of choice that they hand out, they should just also have little bottles of hand sanitizer.
Well, they started giving out the wet wipes or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, and people would just get on the plane and they'd be like, no, thank you. Or they would take it and then not use it. And I'm like, I'm not a germaphobe, but I don't know who was sitting in the seat before me. I'm wiping that whole thing down, tray table, wipe it down, like, you know, protect yourself.
I'd never thought of that until today. What happens after the seat when you leave it?
They're supposed to clean, but, you know, it's quick turnover. They're trying to get planes off the ground. Like, I'm not exactly sure it's thorough.
They're trying to do everything but clean the seat because that doesn't make them any money.
I will say this. We had a flight this weekend where we were literally getting off the plane and the flight attendants were actually mucking up the process of getting off the plane because they had to flip this plane so fast that they were in the aisles as people were leaving, cleaning up the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, get out of the way, folks. Yeah. You're not helping this process. Like, the faster we get off of this plane, the faster you can do your job. But right now, you're just making everything longer.
The deplaning process in general is something that I think needs to be explained to too many people.
It should have a class on it, much like driver's ed.
Yeah, it should be common sense, right? Like, if you're in the back of the plane, sit your ass down. You're not leaving for a little while.
Where are you going, bud?
Yeah. Crowding the aisle, what are we doing? And then the other one, because I'm not one of those stand up when the plane lands kind of guys. So if sitting in the aisle seat and you're inside of me, don't stand up over top of me.
Yeah, who's getting around you?
I'm the one with the power here. You move when I move. Okay, so you sit tight until I'm ready to get up, which is when the people in front of me have gotten up.
I understand the argument for standing when the plane lands because you're cramped and you're uncomfortable.
You could stretch all flight as long as the seatbelt light's not on. Get up.
I agree with you. I always feel that as a short person, I can't really speak up to people that have, you know, more vertical advantages because it is harder for them in an airplane. But it's also uncomfortable for everybody.
Sure.
So you're kind of in the same boat regardless of the height. Just sit tight and let everybody in front of you go, and then you can go. And it's all for, I think, a much more pleasant flying experience, which I have no doubt you will have today, a pleasant and a much more sanitized flight experience as you go out to San Francisco in advance of Super Bowl 60. Are you doing anything on Radio Row this week?
Okay. Just networking, hobnobbing, doing all that stuff. I mentioned this yesterday, but it's like, the amount of people that make their way out there is impressive. Mm-hmm. So it feels like a really strong opportunity to just talk to folks. The other thing, too, is the agency that I work with does a gifting suite. I learned this a couple years ago. So I like free. It's my favorite F word.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sign up for some free stuff, too.
Did they kind of give you a sense of what freebies they've got?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like a roll of the dice. I'll be surprised. And whatever it is, I'll take it.
If it's free, it's me. That's Joshua's
100%.
As the update anchor clearly stated in the update, six straight for the Columbus Blue Jackets, who shut out the Devils 3-0 last night in New Jersey. Columbus now is at 9-1 under Rick Bonus. You get that bonus bump coming out of that January 13th dismissal of Dean Evason. Now you look to go in to an Olympic break hot as any, if not the hottest team in the NHL, Baker. I know that, you know, watching that game last night, you see kind of three different periods of hockey. And as has been a better trend for this team, a third period that was awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, that game last night, it was not aesthetically pleasing at all. That was a pretty boring watch last night. But you did what you had to do. You outlasted it. You weren't the one that cracked first. You get that goal. And then that kind of gives you a little momentum, and the Jackets kind of sped up their play a little bit, and they get the win. And there were some things that I saw last night. There were a couple plays, one by Kent Johnson in particularly. And one of the things I was thinking was later in the game, early in the season, Kent Johnson probably wouldn't have been on the ice. We saw a lot of times where his line would go out and Brendan Gaunce or Isaac Lundestrom or someone else was on that line in his place. But just a little play where he didn't back off, where a lot of times the Jackets were retreating. Hey, we got the puck in the zone. Let's not let them come the other way. Johnson took one more skate forward and got his stick on a puck and just flipped it in a little deeper to help the Jackets stay in the zone a little longer. And I was like, there's the difference right there in this team. Just a little more aggression. And Rick Bonus said it in his introductory press conference. I want these guys playing on their toes, not on their heels, in all situations. And it's just little things like that that you're seeing that are like, yeah, this is what's different.
I'll say from a player's perspective, obviously from a different sport, I always liked having coaches that gave you license to be aggressive. I think players really respond to that kind of stuff where they're not telling you to be cautious about things. They're not trying to pull you back. It's like, listen, you're here for a reason. We know you're good. You have great instinct. When you'll know when the time comes where you can be aggressive, and we want you to do that. And it's really freeing. And obviously we're seeing the results with the Blue Jackets right now. But you pointing that out, I think, is exactly what players wanted to feel when Rick Bonus came in, is like, okay, I have the license to go out and do these different things. And that's the way that we're going to train and prepare for every game that we head into.
It was nice getting Dante Fabro back. He has the first goal of the third period, Matthew Olivier with a pair in that final 20 minutes. Elvis Merzlikins, it feels like with the coaching change, I think he's been impacted, if not the biggest, but one of the members of this team that's been impacted by the in the biggest way as he gets his 12th career shutout. And now he's a guy that, for this team, as he goes to represent Team Latvia next week in the Olympics, maybe a jet night tonight. We'll get more from Jody coming up at 11:30, but we'll have some Jackets updates throughout the morning as they'll do, you know, they'll do morning skate potentially. And with Elvis, you wonder where they want to go, because Jet's been playing pretty well as well. If they want to ride Merzlikins into a playoff push, which now they're 5 points out of a playoff spot, or would he be trade bait? Or would he be something you dangle out there as a trade piece that could bring you in, as Jody was talking yesterday, you know, maybe a big body defenseman or something that could increase your scoring capacity as you go to that March 6th deadline?
I still don't think that that contract for Elvis is tradable, especially,
yeah, it's tough.
Especially if somebody is adding a goaltender at this point in the season. That's probably not going to be their number one. That's going to be a guy that they're going to want to have as a backup as they head into the playoffs. It's extra goaltending depth. So I'm guessing nobody's going to say, you know what, that $5+ million a year contract, that's what we want sitting on our bench behind our guy. I think if Elvis ever would get moved, it would be in a sweetener deal. I don't think that's a deadline move that's going to happen. Plus, if Elvis is playing well, which he has been, that's more of a help to you right now than getting rid of him. So, because you want to have two guys you can rely on if you make this playoff push and if you get in. And I don't think you're going to get anybody to replace that. I mean, you have Fedotov down in Cleveland.
Sure.
Do you rely on that? Then you get rid of your third goaltender, so you're thinning the position. So I feel like if there was ever an Elvis trade, it ain't happening at the deadline.
And Joshua, it kind of goes to your point that if, you know, you've got two goalies that you can rely on for both to have these kinds of performances that you had from Elvis last night, you don't want to mess anything up right now because you've got the good thing going. You got a month, you got, what, 2.5 weeks off. You come back, there's the March 6th trade deadline. Keep things as they are, especially at that position, would give you maybe more confidence.
It's the one thing that I continue to think about when it comes to the trade deadline and moves that they want to make. Like, you're in that spot where you feel very confident about postseason chances and what can you do to make the final push. And one of the questions that comes along with that is, how confident do we feel about what we have right now? And if we do something, are we disrupting that? And I don't think fear should stop you from trying to build the best roster that you can at the deadline. But it should be a conversation of how many things do we need to change knowing how well things have gone.
And I misspoke. They are 5 points back of the Islanders, who beat the Penguins last night in overtime. Or they're 4 points back of the Islanders. Islanders beat the Penguins last night in overtime. 5 back of the Bruins for that second wild card spot. So it feels like for the Blue Jackets, the right now easiest path looks to be that third spot in the Metropolitan for a playoff position.
And the Blue Jackets, it was not a great night in the standings for them last night. Obviously, they get the two. But that Penguins-Islanders game going to overtime and that Lightning-Buffalo game going to overtime, both giving points to teams that you really don't want getting extra points right now.
So Shelly time coming up at 11:30. We'll get Jake Trotter, a senior college football reporter at ESPN, on at 10:30, because some wild reporting from Florida State yesterday. And Joshua, how some of these schools are just hemorrhaging money and just not turning that money.
Money's not real.
Into actual winning on the football field. We'll get into a little bit of that throughout the program. But yes, we got to get to the James Harden news. We'll do that next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hoffman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan.
Hey, it's T-Bone again.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies for us today, but chilly. Temperatures only getting into the mid-20s, and then for tonight, partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the single digits. For Thursday, expect partly sunny skies, but daytime highs a little bit cooler as we only get into the 20s with light winds. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. The friends are the guests and listeners. Reeser and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
A first Friday edition of the program also means, hey, guys. So get your hey guys at 971BFS or in the YouTube chat. We'll do them at 11 o'clock. And if you understand the assignment, like you have the past couple of weeks, and we get enough, now that Joshua Perry's in today, if we can read your hey guys on the air, we will ask JP.
All right.
So we can do two if you guys give us enough. So hey guys, again, at 971BFS and under the YouTube chat, we'll also have a Joshua Perry Get Through the Winter officially endorsed beverage coming up at the end of the program, because usually when we do an officially endorsed without Bo, who is day to day dealing with the, he's holed up in bed all day yesterday. They're looking for patient zero. I usually say for my officially endorsed, just open your fridge, grab a beer. I'm a simple man. I like red wine and light beer.
Yeah. I like cocktails. I like cocktailing. My winter drink, not to spoil it, is a very simple one. People can probably make pretty easily. So.
It's exactly what we need.
I like that. Cocktailing. It sounds more classy than going out and drinking.
Turn it into a verb.
What are you doing tonight? I'm cocktailing.
I'm cocktailing.
That's good.
Then from the cut above. How about that?
If your favorite lounges in Northeast Ohio celebrated last night with some news out of the association, it's because James Harden is the newest member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Cavs deal Darius Garland in a 2026 second round pick to the Los Angeles Clippers for the 11-time All-Star and notorious all-time malcontent, because the Cavs are his fifth team in five seasons. I love the water carrying agents at this time of the year. The trade deadline Thursday at 3 o'clock. Because one of them, and I don't think it was Shams, but it was somebody else who really lives in this news-breaking ecosystem, says that Harden wants to prove that he can still play at an 11-time All-Star level. Like, boy, as a awesome Cavs fan, I sure hope he does. Try to paint this turd wine and gold for me, Joshua.
All right, so I'll start with the water carrying. I think the newsbreaker reporter in many sports is, it's, I can't even call them journalists anymore because it's so transactional and they trade on favors. The NBA is the worst of them all. And I love Shams. I worked with him for many years. He's a hardworking dude, but you got to be in the muck to be in that world. And that's where a lot of these people are. So I always find that pretty interesting. Here's the reality of the situation is this move with Harden, I think, signals the timeline for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You got Spider. You won't have him forever. So you got to make moves. Like, if this is your window to contend for a championship, you have to find ways to accelerate that. I know people might not be like super gung-ho about James Harden, but the reality of the situation is he scores at a high level and he's played much better defense than what he's been known to play. And with Garland, you just weren't getting that much between injuries and then just his level of production. It had fallen off. So I think from that standpoint, you can say that he's an upgrade. This also feels like there's another move that's waiting out there. And I don't know what the Cavs can do, right? Like, the Giannis thing feels like a stretch.
Probably not.
Feels like, I don't even know if he's going to get moved at all, right? I know a lot of people wanted that to happen, but there's something else I feel that has to be coming. Like, this just, it can't be this move and then you feel like you're ready to go chase a championship. Like, it feels like there's one more thing that needs to occur for the Cavaliers.
From a production standpoint, what you're losing with Garland, only 26 games this season, both of his you know, his injury to his the surgically repaired toe in the offseason. Now the other foot's dealing with a toe injury. Only 26 games played, 18 points per, 6.9 assists per game. He's 26 years old. You get a decade older in James Harden, but he's played 44 games for the Los Angeles Clippers. He missed the last two for LA for personal reasons.
Yeah, it's because I'm getting traded.
As I'm out of here. But 25.4 points per game, 8.1 assists per game, which is third in the association. Now, it's going to be very interesting to see how Kobe Altman puts this together on the court.
Right.
It might be tonight because the Cavs play the Clippers at 10:30.
Oh, very interesting.
And for the first time since Christmas, I think I'm going to actually lock into the Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. It's not just going to be something like, oh, yeah, the Cavs are on. We'll put that on the third screen in case they actually do something worth watching.
Right.
It's been a lot of just meandering for Cleveland. You know, I know you had the 40-point triple-double from Jared Allen over the weekend against the Portland Trailblazers, but Joshua, you're supposed to do that to the Portland Trailblazers if you're a $240 million roster.
Right.
You're supposed to be putting belt to that ass. And so my thing with the Cavs this season has been you've got to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you've got to have a good showing in the Eastern Conference Finals. In elimination games through his career, James Harden has averaged 13 points
per. It's not good. That's the one thing for me where I have extreme pause about this move, right? Like, I think I can talk myself into a lot of this being you're getting more experience, you're getting a better player who's played more, like he's more reliable in some ways until he gets disenchanted with the franchise and wants to be traded. But
next
again,
week.
this is he's not in it for the long run. So I'm putting that to the side. When it comes to postseason, when it comes to clutch moments in elimination games, what are you going to get from the man? And that's the thing that the Cavs are looking for is somebody who can help them get over the hump. So that'll be a thing to watch, no doubt. But I don't think this is, some people are saying that the Cavs got fleeced. Like, I'm not convinced that with the timeline that they think they have to operate under, that they got fleeced. I think this was a necessary move if they want to win right now.
You can only say they get fleeced in this if in 3 years Darius Garland has played two full seasons and then it gives, because now the Clippers are a play-in team. If Garland can come back healthy for Los Angeles, buy the play-in tournament, and the Clippers somehow manage their way into the Western Conference semifinals and then stays healthy for the rest. He's got 2 years left on his contract. They probably will extend him because he's a great player when healthy, and you just could not rely on that. And if Donovan Mitchell's telling the front office, make a big move. And now, according to Ramona Shelburne, or it was Shams that reported both of them, Mitchell and Harden, are excited to play together.
Okay,
so that's good.
So I'm curious how long that lasts, though, because the other thing where a lot of people are bringing up good points about why this might not work.
Yes.
Ball dominant players, right? Like, you got guys who operate with the ball in their hands. Like, how are we splitting the pill here?
So, Joshua, I think you made a great point about maybe this is a precursor to another move, because this sure doesn't seem like enough for Cleveland. And Reese, I think you had the key stat there with Harden. And I think Harden, I don't know if he still is, but Harden is a great player, but he is a guy that has shrunk in the biggest moments throughout his career. And for the Cavs, I feel like this is, it's almost a move out of desperation. Like, oh my gosh, we've got to do something to try to win it all, but yet you bring in a guy who has not been great in his biggest win it all moments. So when I first, usually in the NBA, I feel like, and this is almost any trade in sports, usually the team that gets the better player wins the trade. And
right.
I do think James Harden is a better player than Darius Garland, but I don't know if the Cavs win this trade because I don't think there's any way this gets them what they are hoping to get.
Yeah, I see what you're getting at. You would like to have a guy who's more proven, but I think part of this too is he can help us get there and then we'll just see what happens, right? Like, I think he's a guy who can elevate the ceiling of your team, and then you just hope and pray that when you get to the clutch moment, when you get to the elimination game, he doesn't poop himself. And I think hope is not the greatest philosophy in the world, but sports operates on hope. That's the whole thing about sports, is everybody just wants to feel like they have hope to achieve what they're trying to achieve.
And Reese, you made a good point earlier this morning. Maybe this is as simple as the Cavs knew it's a move to help them, but they also knew, yeah, we're not going to invest the money in Darius Garland. So maybe this was a roster move where they get somebody back for a guy they knew they weren't going to keep.
Yeah, Harden, $39.1 million this season. Garland, $39.4 million this season. So you're already paying the right. 34 and change, and you have Harden's player option, Garland, 2 years on a deal. So I think this puts the Cavs, who I thought were going to be an Eastern Conference semifinals dismissal, back into an Eastern Conference semifinals dismissal. I would like to hope I'm wrong. We'll see if Harden makes his debut tonight and they play the Clippers in Los Angeles at 10:30. Figure out the rest from there. Hope is really what sports is built on. You're right, Joshua. The Browns have hope. I don't necessarily know if it's a good plan. Did Todd Monken win the press conference yesterday? We'll discuss. You'll hear from him in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Here's what's up on a first Friday miracle edition of the program. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker with you until noon today. Yesterday at noon, the Browns introduced Todd Monken as their newest head coach. And the big question for me, Joshua, was will he win the press conference? And in the first couple of minutes, he dropped the dog pound. He swore. He said the S word. I think he said ass.
He did.
For me, that's an absolute win.
When he said, been with my wife for 40 years, we've been married for 34, but it's really like six because I'm married to the game. That's the coach you want. I said it to you yesterday. Us. Baggy jeans, bad fashion. This is what I want my coaches to look like. I don't need my coaches to be handsome and well-groomed, and I don't need them to wear nice clothes. I need them to be football guys. He's married to the game, winning the press conference.
Todd Monken, ultimate football guy. Now, really, the only two questions you actually have are in regards to the quarterback and the defense. And so we'll start with Jim Schwartz, because I do think he made a crack. Well, actually, let's play the crack where he talks about game planning for as the Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator for the Browns defense.
It'll be more fun and I don't have to worry about chipping 95 every down and distance, I can tell you that.
And I think he also continued with I'm game planning for Myles Garrett, not for Jim Schwartz. And it's like, oh, okay, here we think they had a conversation. In fact, he said that they had a conversation, but when asked about a conversation with Jim Schwartz and keeping him, Todd Monken.
Well, first of all, I think Jim is an outstanding defensive coordinator. I think we all would agree with that. But I think it's a little inappropriate for me to comment about that at this time.
Doesn't seem like that's going to be the case.
So a couple of the comments that he made, right? Like I'm game planning for Myles Garrett, not for Schwartz. And then he made this other comment about the type of personnel that Cleveland has defensively. It almost felt like he was setting the table to say, like, as long as we can get a good coordinator in here, yep, these guys will be able to ball. So it's not necessarily about Schwartz, which I know Cleveland fans are going to feel a way about it because he is a very, very good coordinator, a great ball coach. But part of the reality is the players matter. When you got 95 out there, like, it makes it really easy to call defense. When you got lockdown corners out, yep, there, it makes it pretty easy to call defense. So I do think he's onto something there, although Cleveland fans would love to see Schwartz back in that building.
Yeah, just I think with how it went, where you had Jim Schwartz cleaning out his office, telling people goodbye, and then walking out of the building, what realistically would Monken be able to tell him to get him to undo all of that?
I don't know if it's Monken telling him anything. It might be the Haslam saying, listen, we could pay you at the very top of the market, and you know, you'll have latitude to be the head coach of that side of the ball. Todd's going to stay out of your way. You can operate. Like that would be probably the best that you could pitch him to see if you get him back in the building.
And so Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry were also made available. Here's the Browns owner on Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, I think this. First of all, I think Todd made it clear. Andrew's made it clear. I think I made it clear back on January 5th. We think the world of Coach Schwartz. I think Jim and Jim's future is the subject for another day.
When's that other day there, old Jimmy?
So the Todd Monken part of this, Bo told us with this guy, he's not hiding anything. He's not sugarcoating anything. So you're going to ask him a question. He's going to give you a direct answer. So there's a lot of people like, oh, I think he's taking shots at Schwartz, this and that. I don't think he is. I think he's just being honest. Like, listen, Jim Schwartz is a great coach, but we game plan for Myles Garrett and what he can do. Like, I think people are trying to look into this and read into things, and I don't think that's the case. I think Monken's just a straight shooter, and he doesn't think about what he says, and it just pops into his head, and he fires. I still think, and I don't know what it is, if it was naive, if it was arrogance, if it was stupidity, it could be all of those wrapped into one. I think it was ridiculous for the Cleveland Browns to think that we can go through this process, make Jim Schwartz one of our leading candidates, and expect him to stay when we don't hire him. It's like, man, you know, we really like Jim as a coach, but not enough to make him our head coach. And I just think that was, I think it was arrogant of the Cleveland Browns to feel that way.
I've thought about that so many times. Like, the idea that you value him enough that you feel like you have to keep him, then at that point, he's your head coach, right? And then you figure out the rest of the thing. But if you felt like he was that valuable and he had to be around, then you wouldn't take the chance on saying, like, boy, I hope you'll go through all of these rounds of interviews and we're going to give you the same personality test that we give to everybody else. And I hope by the end of this, when we tell you you're not getting the job, you'll just be a good dude and stick around for the fact that you love the Cleveland Browns. It's just not how business works.
He's got 2 years left on his contract with the team. Here's general manager Andrew Bear. We talked about those personality tests, that the reported essay that they were giving some of their candidates. And, you know, for the head coach of the Browns, quarterback is the most important thing with this organization. So he was asked if the test questions to their new coaches would be how to develop Shedeur Sanders.
So when we talk about player development, one of the things that we wanted to get a feel for with all the candidates was less about the specific player, but more about like the player archetype, so to speak. So Shedeur, right, is naturally, that's like an example of like a young quarterback. And see what thoughts candidates had on that. We also had another young player on defense, and we also had a position coach as part of that, because we wanted to see how the head coaching candidates thought about those things globally, given everything that's asked for them in that seat.
I know Andrew Berry's the guy that goes in any room and he thinks he's the smartest person in any room, but you can't really compare any other positions to the quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I get what he's trying to explain. I get what they're trying to achieve, but it just feels like you just ask the guy, like, what do you look for in a quarterback? How would you develop this type of guy? How would you interact with this? What does a meeting look like? Hey, you've got a young coach who's got a lot of potential. These are their blind spots. How do you develop your coaching staff? Like, just do it like a normal person would do it, regular interview.
I'm sure the questions were always asked about Shedeur. But it's funny that Andrew Berry would bring up Shedeur and all of this. Like, how are you going to develop Shedeur? I'm pretty sure last year, Andrew, you drafted Dylan Gabriel higher than Shedeur, and Dylan Gabriel's still on this roster. Kind of interesting.
That's the question for me, more so than the Jim Schwartz stuff, is the quarterback. And so Monken, back to the Browns' new head coach, was asked if he envisions Shedeur will open the season as quarterback one.
Well, I think like any position on the team, that's still to be determined. Am I excited about Shedeur? Am I excited about all the quarterbacks in the room? Am I excited to coach this football team? Absolutely. I can't wait for them to get back and for us to get started.
That's a good response.
Is he excited about all of the quarterbacks in the room?
Well, he's got to say that, because you're right. There's two quarterbacks. There's one quarterback you can kind of excite me about. There's another quarterback. Well, you drafted him higher, to Baker's point, and then there's Watson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I think this is the good thing about having a guy who's been around the block in coaching, though, because I think about the flip side of this, where you hire a 30-year-old Grant Yudinski, and he's walking into that situation, and it's like, all right, brother, have fun. This is the Cleveland Browns experience.
Yeah, this was really always setting up for a coach that had done a lot in the league, not a guy who had really just coordinated and called offense and was I mean, younger than both of us.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't set you up for this kind of situation. I've always thought that as an NFL head coach, yeah, knowing ball is the prerequisite to get into the building.
Right.
But you've got to be able to handle the chaos that goes with any NFL season. And then for the Browns, you be able to take that regular season NFL chaos and you've got to kind of crank it to 6 or 7.
So I've actually got really strong theories about this idea of ball knowledge and becoming a head coach. And I think you have to have great situational knowledge.
Yeah.
As a coach, but I think your ability to be a manager of people and a manager of an organization is more valuable than how you call plays. And so I think the older you get, the more you just pick up on that kind of stuff. Like, the ball knowledge is always going to be there, but the veteran guys certainly are a little bit better when it comes to dealing with the craziness. And Monken talked about it too, with his connection to John Harbaugh and how he was able to create confrontation without being confrontational. I thought that was a hell of a line, because I think there's some confrontation that needs to happen within that building up there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people need to be challenged. And I think Shador and I think Dylan will respond well to that sort of thing.
Sure.
Watson probably not.
Well.
But you have him. And so it's with everybody that you've got in those rooms is, to your point, the challenging and how are they going to react to that. I don't know what this does from a win standpoint. I had that 4 wins last season. I'm going to probably predict a similar win total this upcoming year. And then maybe after that, when you're able to get rid of the albatross that is Deshaun Watson's contract, you can take steps in the right direction. But when you ask me how I feel about Todd Monken and the hire and the press conference, I'm still a 5. I was a 5 when they announced the hire. I was a 5 after the press conference.
It's also kind of interesting to me. Nobody asks about offensive line. What are you going to do with that? Because you don't really have many guys under contract that were starters for you last year. Also, what about weapons on the outside? Like, I don't know if it matters who your quarterback is if they're thrown to that same group of receivers.
Fortunately, they have a draft where they've got 2 picks in the first round. And if they can pull off what they did last year in the draft, you're taking steps in the right direction.
Yeah, it just feels like a lot of we'll see at this point.
That's all it's going to be with this Cleveland Brown franchise. The college football playoffs got some new dates for the next 2 sets. One going to be a 12-teamer, one we're not sure if it's going to expand. But a lot of people mad about how many days games are going to be off between first round, second round, and the championship tilt. We'll discuss that next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, it's Bo Bishop here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story. But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app. TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere. The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, it turns out we have a former college football player and the pride of Olentangy, Joshua Perry, on with us until noon today. Bo's day today. Caught the Little League flu. So he was holed up in bed yesterday, and so we'll see about his status for tomorrow. But Eric Reese and Ryan Baker with Joshua as well. Jake Trotter going to join us at 10:30. We'll have some Shelly time at 11:30. Yesterday, college football playoff announced that they're not going to have a game on New Year's Eve this season. I know Ohio State fans have lamented some more recent New Year's Eve bowl games, New Year's Eve college football playoff games that haven't gone their way. Well, if you don't like Ohio State playing on New Year's Eve, at least for the 2026 CFP, you're not going to have that problem. Quarterfinals, the first one's going to be Wednesday, December 30th at the Fiesta Bowl. Then a triple header, Friday, January 1st of 2027, Cotton Peach Rose. The CFP semis for the 2026 season are going to be held on January 14th of 2027 at the Orange Bowl and January 15th, 2027 at the Sugar Bowl. That's 2 weeks between games. And Joshua, 38 days will separate the first round and the title tilt. The 2026 CFP championship is going to be Monday, January 25th in Las Vegas.
Ah, man. I mean, there are so many issues in college football right now. And one of the bigger ones for me is the postseason where you're trying to crown a champion and the experience is too long and the field becomes so thin that I do think that there's like general apathy that sets in. Like I'm really close friends with a woman who's a Georgia fan. And after Georgia was out, she's like, I'm not watching a singular second of college football anymore. And she's like a super big college football fan generally. And I feel like the numbers are telling people that things are going well in college football. I think the numbers could be better if they figured out this postseason. One of the things that happens as well, and they're trying to avoid it, is the NFL comes in and they start taking every damn day of the week.
Yep.
This part of the calendar. So you'll play the quarterfinals. Then you'll have 2 weekends of NFL games that will go by. Then you'll play the semifinals. And you'll have 2 more weekends of NFL games that go by, and then the title game. How the hell does that make any sense? Like, in what world does it make sense to stretch out your postseason that long, but also just let the NFL just take over and have all of the attention and all of the storylines, and you, like, you can't even have continuity with what's happening in the postseason? It's crazy to me.
Yeah, the NFL, well, New Year's Eve is on a Thursday night, and so that's it. Amazon Prime Thursday night with Alan Kirk. And so the CFP's executive director, Rich Clark, said that that was one of their reasons for making this change.
So I'm not one of those people that you have to have a game on New Year's Eve. I do think it's nice. Why couldn't you play the game at 4:30 or 5, though, before the NFL? Be a great precursor in a lead up to the NFL, because I think having one and then a day off and then the other three, I just think that's bad business. And Joshua, as you mentioned, we're pushing this thing back so more teams are going to be involved later. And oh yeah, your transfer portal window is right here. So let's have more teams affected by this. It's just really bad. And listen, I don't know if you can worry about the NFL, as you said, with, oh, let's let the NFL garner all. The NFL has all the headlines.
Right.
And the NFL is king, and the numbers are proving that. As good as the college football playoff numbers were this year, the NFL playoff numbers,
oh, they're not touching it.
Just dwarfed them.
Yes.
So you're not going to, I understand wanting to move around that, but yeah, let's, why do we need all this time off?
Yeah.
Like, we play all these games in the regular season, back to back to back to back. Let's just go ahead. We don't need 3 weeks between conference championships and the start of the playoffs. Let's go. Let's get it moving.
Just think, it gives people too much of an opportunity to turn the page. You know, like, if your team's out, you can check out. Yep. If you're more worried about portal acquisitions, then you can check out. You know, like, you get wrapped up. You got the college team that you really like, and you got an NFL team that you really like. Your NFL team's making a run. You can check out. So let's figure out a way to do this with continuity where you can ride waves of momentum instead of giving people 2 weeks to completely forget about the last time they saw a college team play.
And it'll be a similar thing for the 2027 season. Now, I think 2026 will be more, I'd say that's written in pen. 2027 does feel maybe pencil with, if they want to expand the college football playoff, you'll have the 2027 title tilt Monday, January 24th of 2028 in New Orleans.
January 24th.
So we're getting a little later this upcoming CFP, and then you're getting a little earlier by a day. It feels that 30, 38, 39 days, it's an extra month plus for your season that already is expanded, because it's already long, because you've got week zero that, you know, bleeds into early, into late August. You know, and for Ryan Day and for all of these coaches, you've spent the last two seasons trying to figure this out. And that's why I think you saw a much more conservative approach from the Buckeyes this past year in trying to dominate the time of possession, because you need to keep your guys fresh for that, what they had hoped would be a month slog through the playoffs.
I mean, it's a 50 plus day postseason. Yep. from conference championships, end of the regular season, all the way through to when they crown a champ. It feels long. If you were to look at the calendar, and not every week that a game's played, but just the first game to the very last game, the midpoint of the season probably is somewhere in like October. Mm-hmm. Like, you still have half of the way to go before a champion's crown, but like, there's just not that many games left. It's an odd setup. We're going to be knocking on the door of February. Liberty University is going to be turning off their comments on their Black History Month post in a week after the champ is crowned. That's insane to me.
It's example, what, 3,972 of why this someone's got to do something about the calendar, not in a television or a broadcast or a trying to make revenue position. Like, the coaches do need to get together and say to the powers that be, we're not about this.
Can't do it.
We have got to figure a better calendar out for the coaches, because the way of life is just so poor when you have this much.
I mean,
you know, it's why you and all these sports kind of have the head of it, psychos that, you know, already do so much or put so much of themselves into it. But if you're asking them to coaches to do all of this, yeah, then you'll have coaching changes, and you talk about Baker with the transfer portal. There's no time to live a life.
No, I mean, college football, collegiate athletics generally, they find ways to make it harder for their most talented to really want to thrive in the industry. And I know there was, like, when all the changes were coming, there were people like, oh, everybody's going to flee. And it's like, no, they're not going to flee. Like, not everybody can go be a pro coach. There's only so many jobs at that level. But I do think there is a ton of frustration, and it's becoming more and more difficult for coaches to do the job. I think this hiring cycle, just to go off on a little bit of a tangent, was enlightening in college coaching, because there were some big dog jobs that were open, and I don't think that there were the number of suitors that you would have seen 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I think there were many coaches who were like, I like my quality of life where I'm at right now. The expectations aren't crazy. If we miss out on a guy in the portal, nobody's going to be on the message boards calling for my job. If we don't make a deep playoff run, nobody's going to try to fire me. Like, all of the things that have become more pressure packed for college football, I think coaches are starting to wise up and say, like, $6 million to coach at Georgia Tech rather than trying to pursue the Florida job, and I might get $10 million. Like, I'll just take my six and be good. Like, I'm fine doing that.
And I also wonder, maybe that's one of the and there's going to be a litany of reasons why college coaches and even NFL coaches, the ages are skewing younger.
Yeah.
Because you're just burning guys out too much, so much sooner.
Well, dude, you also don't have to work as long to retire. Like, there was a time where, you know, way back in the day where coaches were like making a regular salary, and then things started to explode. But, you know, $2 million a year to be a premier college football coach at the beginning of 2000s, like, it's good money, but you're not retiring off of doing that for just a few years. Like, you could be Ryan Day and you could coach for 5 years and never have to work again. And I think that's going to be a factor for some of these guys. They're just going to start hanging it up.
We're never going to see the Bobby Bowdens, Joe Paternos, Woody Hayeses. We're never going to see that again. And I don't know if we were anyway, because we don't have the patience for it as fans and whatnot. But the people that say, oh my gosh, Ryan Day is going nowhere, like, I don't know if you can guarantee that. Like, he has it good here, but it's a hard life being the head coach of Ohio State. There's a lot of scrutiny. It's all of the time. And why, you know, if the NFL is going to come offering the same amount and maybe it's less work, maybe why not do that?
I mean, I know coaches like the TV networks. It ain't going to be as much as they make coaching.
Yeah.
I tell you, it is a fraction of the work. You got 15 days that you're on air. I mean, you might do a little bit more if you're saving, they got you on during the week, whatever, but like, it ain't that hard and it's a pretty paycheck. Like, I think guys are going to start looking at different opportunities.
We will rank the best Super Bowl halftime shows in higher or lower. And I didn't have this team as part of a college football poverty program list. I'll tell you about it next. Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, Sash Man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. 8-1 for the Columbus Blue Jackets with Rick Bonus behind the bench. Columbus extended their league-best win streak to six games with a 3-0 shutout of the Blue Devils last night in New Jersey. Matthew Olivier had a pair of goals in the win. Elvis Merzlikins 24 saves in the shutout. Jackets are now four back of the Islanders for a playoff spot. They'll host the Chicago Blackhawks tonight at 7. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage at 6:30. CBJ are off until February 26th for the Olympic break. In the NBA, the Cavaliers play the Clippers tonight in Los Angeles at 10:30. Could be the Cleveland debut for James Harden, who was traded by LA last night in exchange for Cavs guard Darius Garland and a second-round pick. The NBA's deadline is Thursday at 3. And in college hoops, Ohio State's at Maryland tomorrow night at 8:30. This update sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit sleepbettercolumbus.com. Stop snoring, sleep better, live better.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Happy First Friday. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker. Bo's day-to-day. You got that youth sports flu. So it'd be TBD for Thursday's program. Coming up at 10:30 this hour, we'll have Jake Trotter on, ESPN senior college football reporter. We got a poverty program to talk about that I was kind of shocked they would be considered with Rutgers and Cal. We'll get to that here in a couple of minutes. Jody Shelley is going to join us at 11:30, as you heard there in the update. The Jackets are 8-1 with Rick Bonus behind the bench. Six straight is the best winning streak in the NHL. They'll look to make it seven straight tonight against the Blackhawks before they go on that Olympic break. But first, I thought we'd have a little fun, obviously, with Super Bowl 60 coming up this Sunday. We'll have it for you on The Fan with the Seahawks and the New England Patriots. I think Seattle's still a 4.5-point favorite, but it's on NBC. Big NBC fans on this program.
Thank you.
The folks at NBC Sports ranked their top 10 Super Bowl halftime shows.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
Do we want to start at the top or at the bottom?
I think you should always start at the top.
While this isn't the NBC sports theme, it's an NFL theme, so I guess it kind of works. You said bottom, Baker?
Top. I always like starting at number one.
So according to NBC Sports, the number one halftime show of all time was in 2007 with Prince. At number two was Beyonce's Super Bowl halftime performance from 2013. At three, you have that West Coast Party. In 2002 with Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar. Let's go higher or lower for the West Coast Posse, Joshua.
God. is properly rated an acceptable answer?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because, Prince, Purple Rain, can I sing on here or will we get fined? I'm not going to sing.
No, you can sing.
Okay, because we used to work on a show where we get fined. Unimpeachable. I know some people 50-50 on Beyonce.
Yeah.
Her shows are ridiculous. It wasn't Dre. It wasn't Snoop. It wasn't Kendrick. It's Mary J. Blige for me. I'm a big 90s R&B guy. Y'all know my love for Mariah Carey. I don't have the same esteem for Mary, but I love the way she sings. And so to see that crew out there and then she made her little appearance, I was all for it. So I'd say properly rated.
So it's funny, when I did my quick little list, I had this one at number three, and I loved this one. This one was great. My number one, and we may be spoiling things here for later, but my number one of all time is pretty much the first big Super Bowl halftime show, and that was Michael Jackson. I always think that was great. I went back a few years ago and went back and watched that, and it was just, they had high school bands out there before at the halftime show for the Super Bowl, and Michael Jackson kind of changed things. I think that one will always be great. And I think U2's, just kind of what it meant and symbolized right after 9/11 and that Super Bowl and everything. I just think that has to be up there as well. So those two are my top two. This one with Snoop and Dre and all, that was so good.
It was good.
As somebody that grew up in the 90s, I don't know how you couldn't love that.
It was a nostalgia trip. You have at four, the Super Bowl 37 halftime performance with Bono in 2002. So I think, Baker, you were saying that was the first one after 9/11. So a powerful moment. And then at five, they've got 2015's Katy Perry Super Bowl, but it's really Left Shark.
All time. Left Shark is one of my favorites still to this day. I'm also a slight Katy Perry fan. I don't know if that's a get my
you
man
like
card
what you
revoked,
like, man. I don't know,
but I enjoyed it. But the shark was the thing for sure.
The Katy Perry one, honestly, and I'm not I wouldn't consider myself a fan of Katy Perry, but that might be some of the best production
of
a Super Bowl halftime show of all time. So I think right in that range, 5-6, I think that's pretty appropriate.
I mean, it goes to the spectacle of things. And so Michael Jackson's from 93 is 6. 7 through 9, I don't remember. So Lady Gaga performed in Super Bowl at 2017. Lady Gaga's at 7. In 2008, you had Tom Petty. In 2012, the Super Bowl halftime show was Madonna. I don't remember that at all. Mm. 2009, I do remember Bruce Springsteen's performance. That was great by The Boss. NBC Sports has that as the 10th best Super Bowl halftime show of all time. Higher or lower for The Boss there?
I would probably have to go with higher. And it's not so much Springsteen for me. It's the idea of what you said. Like, Tom Petty does nothing for me. I don't like Lady Gaga very much. And Madonna, like, I'm with you. I don't remember that one. So just based off of that alone, I think you would have to move it up.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't remember the Madonna one that much either. Lady Gaga, she's really weird to me, but her show was pretty good. What I remember at the Super Bowl halftime, I would have Springsteen up a little bit here. I love Tom Petty, but I don't know if there was much spectacle to that. But I would have Springsteen up a little bit. That's weird that none of us really remember the Madonna one. I will say one that I'm surprised isn't on this list just because it was an iconic moment was the Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
One. And one that I thought was pretty good. It's probably longer ago. I'm going to say a few years back, but it might be even longer than that. I thought Bruno Mars was pretty good.
Bruno,
at halftime.
That was good.
Bruno is just good generally when it comes to a live performance. So I'm with you on that. The Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, I was a young lad. Mm-hmm. And so that memory is seared into my brain. I will never forget. I felt like I grew up a little bit in that moment with the wardrobe malfunction.
I was in sixth grade, and I remember the school the next day. That's what everybody was talking about.
Boobs.
Was it the Seahawks or maybe the Panthers?
Doesn't matter.
From the NFC? Like,
it doesn't matter.
I remember the game. I remember that moment.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the day Eric became a man.
That's right.
Not really, but that's what I think you're looking for Super Bowl moments. And so I think Bad Bunny will provide a spectacle with some moments on Sunday. I've said it yesterday, and I'll continue to say it. When the Super Bowl hits halftime, I'm going to the bathroom. So if Bad Bunny comes on and I might miss it, well, that's because I'm occupied.
I'm getting to that point now where I feel like I have to sit there and watch it because so many people have said that they're not interested. Just to be contrarian, right? Like, I'm just going to do the counter thing, and I'm going to become the biggest Bad Bunny fan for 15 minutes.
It'll be a good
Never
show.
Never heard one of his songs, by the way.
I think you probably have.
I don't know if I have.
But I couldn't. We can't play it for you because I think we'll get sued. But also, I don't think we have any Bad Bunny songs in our system. So maybe when you're at the airport today,
we'll play it during the break.
All right, and we'll see if you've heard it before.
I think Bad Bunny is the perfect transition into bringing back Sunday Night Heat in the middle, the Sunday Night halftime there with the WWE.
Well,
since he's dabbled his toes in that, maybe we just have an impromptu match in the middle of the Super Bowl.
Wrestling's
halftime
on Netflix. I mean, there's no reason you can't pop up Netflix on your phone or your computer or your tablet while you have the Super Bowl on in the background. And double dip. I mean, we do it with our sports all the time. Like last night, I had Miami Redhawks basketball on my phone as I was watching the Blue Jackets on TV. Because I'm a fan of history.
Well, if you were Bo Bishop, you would just have 3 TVs.
Well, so I can't. I can only have 1 TV. My girlfriend's given me the option of having the second TV on the mantle during football season. But I don't get the 3. I don't have more than 1 TV is all we get in the living room. And I can't do the quad box. So
yeah, the quad box really helps a lot of things out. So we have a TV in the living room, and then we have a playroom in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sit properly, you can see both TVs, not at the same time, but you can kind of ping pong.
Sure.
And so I've done it before where I had a quad box on one and then just like a split screen on the other. And it worked out really great.
I don't know how, especially if it's something that you care about a lot, like the Blue Jackets I care about. I don't know how people do the split screens or the quad boxes, and I can do it on mine. I've tried it. I just don't have the attention span to do it. Like, I've got to focus on one and maybe just check in on the other.
So I had teased this about poverty programs in college football. And Joshua, you put this in front of me yesterday from Sportico, where Florida State closed fiscal year 2025 with $437 million in athletics-related debt.
Oh, man.
It's a $200 million debt increase from their prior fiscal cycle and higher total than any public FBS program reported in fiscal year 2024. I think we talked about Cal Berkeley and how even UCLA, like those programs and those organizations have been just in the red forever. Rutgers last week had a $47.2 million shortfall in last season, so their deficit $78 million in the red. But man, that Florida State number is eye-popping.
It is, and they said, you know, primarily renovations to the stadium, so I could get where you'd have to create a lot of money there. But one of the things, again, and I mentioned this when we're talking about Rutgers,
yeah,
one of the things that stands out is their revenues are they're not what we're seeing with schools like Ohio State, other Big Ten members. And so they're, again, they can't spend, at least cash wise, what they need to. And so these guys are taking on debt. I'm always so curious about this from like an athletic department standpoint. Like, who comes in and does a credit rating? Like how does the bank know if you're credit worthy? Like, do I really want to give you $200 million for this renovation? Am I going to get it back? Like, you guys were over here fighting to leave the conference because you say that you're too damn poor. Like, I'm not just going to loan you money when you can't even figure out how to do revenue amongst your conference members.
There's one dangerous precedent I think Florida State could set, and we don't need more government dictating sports. Those next. Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The biggest football.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Can't get enough of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies for us today, but chilly. Temperatures only getting into the mid-20s, and then for tonight, partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the single digits. For Thursday, expect partly sunny skies, but daytime highs a little bit cooler as we only get into the 20s with light winds. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Distilled sports discussion. Served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Joshua, I did not mean when we did NBC Sports 10 Best Super Bowl Halftime Shows to get into a Lady Gaga Katy Perry debate.
It's so good. The chat.
Here we are in the YouTube chat. Breaking it down.
We love the chatters, though.
You knew that topic would get the chat going.
Well, I had a
something
feeling
like that always gets the chat going.
Yeah.
Just it's timely. It's something that everybody can get behind, because whether you're a football fan throughout the season or not, the Super Bowl is the spectacle. The Super Bowl is what you tune in for. You might not know the teams. You might not know the coaches. You might not know the players. We do. But the halftime show is probably somebody you've at least heard of in passing. Or especially this year,
somebody you have an opinion about.
Even the negativity with Bad Bunny, people are still going to tune in to see what he does.
I think 100%.
I think it'll be an absolutely entertaining show. And then Joshua, we still have to pay off on the have you listened to a Bad Bunny song? See if you know it. You'll have some time maybe later today to flip through his catalog and see if there are any other hits that you'd like. But that's for later on in the program. We'll have Jake Trotter coming up here in about 10 minutes. I want to get his thoughts on how a school like Florida State can find themselves $430 million in the red. Now, from Florida State, they say because they had to do renovations to Doak Campbell, they had to do a new football facility. That was money that they took out against what they would be making. If you watched Florida State football at all this season, and there wasn't much to watch, I think a lot of games were on the CW network. They didn't have a full stadium to sell tickets to, but program apathy from not making the college football playoff in the year where they probably should have.
Yes.
I think sent them into the tailspin that kind of put them where they are. And so we've been wondering this for a while now with Florida State or with some of these other schools in Colorado. I even think had emails that they had reached out to the Saudis about getting private investment from that part of the world. And when I look at, you know, schools like Cal Berkeley, when I look at schools like Rutgers, who had a deficit of $78 million for their athletic department, I go, thank God the Big Ten did not go forward with that private capital deal.
I feel like selling a portion of your conference or your ability to market, you selling a portion of your athletic department to a private capital or, you know, the Saudis or whoever.
Yep.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. I feel like a lot of these venture capital deals have not necessarily looked like what was in the contract on paper, right? So there's that part of the unknown about how that works in a world of collegiate athletics. That's bad. The thing that I think bothers me about the idea that people are entertaining this, and I think Utah did a deal with one of these types of companies,
yeah,
is we talk about this, but we ignore why we're talking about this. The idea that a collegiate athletic department would be looking for outside funds from venture capital, mm-hmm, from private equity, or whatever the deal is there, is insane, because you're acknowledging that this whole thing is indeed a business, but you're still in many ways trying to operate under a framework of, but we're just an athletic department that's a part of the university.
It's amateurism.
We have to make a decision about what the structure of collegiate athletics is. Is it really tied in to a university structure, or are these just kind of like fully independent things, which some athletic departments now are just setting up actual business entities and operating that way? And then you go forward and you decide if you need to take the money from the people that have the private equity or whatever the case is, if you need an infusion that bad. But this back and forth of, we're still kind of this thing that people used to know in the past, while we're also trying to operate with, you know, multi-million dollar budgets, and we're trying to make sure that we can be balanced, and at times we're going to need to spend a little bit more than we make to make things work. It just doesn't feel very collegiate in a lot of senses.
It's one of the many reasons that I've been saying, even since last year's Michigan game, that Ohio State's in a pretty good spot relative to most other places in the country. I saw this at 11 Warriors, where the department netted $15.7 million from fiscal year 2024 to 2025. So that's a net.
But look at how much they spent and look at how much they made.
So they hauled in $336 million. They spent $320 million.
Right. And so, like, that's the thing where, to me, Ohio State's operating in a different world. Like, mm-hmm, we're talking with these other schools, we're talking about $180 million. We're talking about $200 million. Yeah. With Ohio State, we're talking in the mid 300 millions of dollars that they bring in, and they can spend $300 million and still turn a profit. Like, that's where a lot of these schools are saying we can't keep up. And that's why they're looking for other things. They can't even spend, they can't make what Ohio State's spending, right? So they can't forget about spending like Ohio State. Like, they're trying to get their revenues to a point where it's on par with what Ohio State can spend and still turn a profit. It's a wild world, but we have to address the fact that this doesn't feel very collegiate anymore.
No.
And you want to talk about the fine line with that, with Ohio State in the 2024 season, they didn't,
right,
make a profit. They were operating in the red, and that's the difference between the amount of home games football had. They had one more home game, and you also had CFP games that bled into 2025 as well. So there's a fine line there, and we've talked about it a lot on this show, the how long can you continue to sustain 36 sports? Like, JP, I always use the example of men's volleyball, because I've worked some men's volleyball games over the year. They make no ticket revenue, because, mm-hmm, there are no tickets. Anybody can just walk in those games. They make no money from parking, because parking is free. So the only thing they make during a men's volleyball game is whatever concessions that they sell. I don't know if you've ever been to a men's volleyball game. If they get 300 or 400 people in there, that's a lot of people.
Right.
So I don't know how much money you're making from concessions from that. And the men's volleyball team, there's not a lot of volleyball teams around the country. So they've always played USC, UCLA, Long Beach State. Well, how are you getting out to California multiple times a year? Well, you're flying. That all costs money. So that sport is bringing in nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So the football team is funding all of that. And I just don't know how long in this landscape, as you talked about, they operate as professional businesses, but yet they don't want to. And I'm all for that. Like I'm an old school guy, and all the problems that are coming for some of these kids, there's a part of me that feels bad, but there's a part of me that doesn't, because you all asked for this.
I'm with you on that. But, and I think it's a great point about the, for Ohio State specifically, the size of the athletic department. And for a while, it's been that, right? Mm-hmm. Like football subsidizes the athletic department, the other sports that don't make a revenue, along with, you know, men's and women's basketball, women's volleyball, I'm pretty sure as well.
Yes.
But the idea that you have a few sports that make sure everybody can operate, it's not necessarily foreign. I think the biggest problem is, in this day and age, there's one thing that people really care about above and beyond basketball, above and beyond anything else. And that's spending in football. It's salaries for football. It's facilities for football in a lot of ways. Just again, I know we talked about it before. I would hate to see the athletic department shrink in terms of the number of sports. Like I just, it's something that I take a lot of pride in, saying that I was a part of an athletic department that supported so many sports, and I got to know a lot of those other athletes. But this day and age, you never know. And if it's going to be a pissing contest between which football program can put more into their roster and who can have the different uniform combinations and what sweatpants you wear getting off of the plane and who's got the best accommodations when they go on the road, I just don't know what the tipping point is.
And I do think there, this is just another, this adds to the argument that there should be some separators in this, because Rutgers, if you're not even trying to be in the same ballpark as Ohio State, then maybe you shouldn't be sharing the same conference.
The issue is, I think they're trying to be, and they just don't know how to make money. Yeah. What is your reason to spend money around their athletics? Like
I don't have one.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, there's not a notable program that any of us can think of off the top of our head. Their women's basketball program for a while was carrying the banner. They had the great years under Greg Schiano a little while ago. But outside of that, like, I don't think their problem is that they're not trying to keep up. I just don't think that they can justify spending any more than they already are.
And you mentioned some separators in all of this. I mean, it sure seems like the logical thing to me would be separate football into its own entity and then try to run the rest of the college athletics like we've run college athletics in the past, because maybe some of men's college basketball, maybe a little bit of women's basketball is making money and can operate under the same rules. But football is the one thing that is a true multi-million dollar business here in this whole college sports landscape. We're going to have to separate that off and give it different rules and regulations. And I know that's going to add all kinds of other lawsuits and whatnot, but that seems to be the only way.
And it feels like everything's just going to get more expensive. And so the ask is going to be bigger. What you're going to need to have is going to be more. The ask then to the fans is going to be more. And your point about Rutgers, where are you getting those from?
I know we got to get to a break here, but like, think about what Ohio State football is spending on staffing right now.
And a roster.
Rutgers couldn't if they wanted to.
Right.
They can't, because they don't know how to monetize football. Part of the reason is the product's bad, but it's almost a circle when you go through that. But there's just not enough coming in.
What do they play at, SHI Stadium?
Yes.
It's almost like that product forgot the T.
That's another show.
Jake Trotter coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends on.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard.
A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit.
A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival.
That man is Jake Trotter.
He's ESPN senior college football reporter joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Jake, thanks so much for the time, bud. We talked earlier in the program about the new dates for the college football playoff, the one in 2026 and the one in 2027. It doesn't feel sustainable. What were your thoughts on them making it 38 days between the opening game and the closing game for this upcoming college football playoff?
Kind of pigeonhole dates to fit the New Year's range. And yeah, I mean, I don't understand why we can't compact it a little bit. I don't think it does a huge service to the teams that get the buys. Like, we've seen a lot of those teams not play well. Remind me what the record is for the teams with the bye. I think, what did they go, 0-4 last year? And
Cignetti was the only one that pulled it off, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so they're 1-7 now. I mean, so that's not an advantage. I mean, clearly there's something to that at this point. Everything that they do in college football, half the time it just makes no sense. And, you know, they're supposed to expand the playoff by this point. Can't agree, the Big Ten and the SEC. And now we have a calendar that just, man, it feels like forever from the end of the regular season to the national championship game.
I mean, it kind of is forever, which is the unfortunate thing here. And you talked about things that don't feel sustainable, maybe don't make a lot of sense. We were just going over some of the numbers here within athletic departments, and the report came out about Rutgers. They were, you know, 70 some odd million deficit that they were running. And then the amount of debt that Florida State is carrying right now, like, is this another aspect of the sport that is not sustainable?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, that's why you see these conferences trying to tap into private equity to as a short-term solution at the expense of, you know, long-term assets. You know, we don't have collective bargaining, right? So coaches are, you know, getting paid enormous amount of money. Really, that's a trend that's happened over the last, you know, 20 years or so. And then, you know, before the NIL era, you had all this money in the system from TV. And so what were these schools doing? They were, you know, they were building new locker rooms. They were building new stadiums. They were building these extravagant weight rooms. Like, if, you know, I covered the NFL for 5 years. You go to some of these facilities in the NFL that they don't even compare with what you'd see in College Station or Eugene or even, you know, Stillwater, Oklahoma, Manhattan, Kansas. I mean, just these, you know, plush facilities that have things they don't even need. So they had money, you know, burning a hole in their pocket. Now that you have to pay players, you know, that's not the case anymore. But again, like, if we had a system where, you know, there was a finite amount of money in the system, it was divided between the schools, coaches, and players, you know, this wouldn't be a problem. But we have this rogue system where there are no rules. You know, I think it's fair to assume that, you know, there's stuff still happening under the table. The College Sports Commission with the NIL agreements, that looks like that's not going to work because a lot of schools are going to say, we're tired of waiting. We're just going to okay these on our own. What are you going to do about it? So, yeah, I mean, it's the Wild West, and part of that is, you have to spend money to compete, whether you have it or not.
Jake, it seems like everything that we're doing is we're doing it with football in mind, and maybe not some of the other college athletics and college sports. Is there going to be a time where college football is going to have to break off and be its own separate entity, where there's rules for college football and then there's rules for the rest of college athletics?
Yeah, you know, we sort of were headed in that direction. You know, the NCAA, you know, it oversees the championships for every sport except for football. You know, we have the college football playoff, which is its own deal. And the NCAA, you know, still does the March Madness and the national championships and the Olympic sports. So that, like, that's one example where that's already happened. Yeah, I don't know where we're headed, because with the house settlement, now you're getting, you know, you're getting, was it $20.5 million, but you have to, it's up to you to decide how you want to divvy that up. And every school is doing it differently. Every school is doing football, but then, you know, some schools might do baseball, others might do gymnastics. If you have a powerhouse softball program, you want to fund that. So I don't know that we are imminently close to football being its own thing. I think that the question is whether we're going to have certain football programs, you know, Big Ten, SEC, that are going to compete in a different division, because, you know, clearly there are some schools that just not going to be able to hang in there with the money that's coming in, you know, for the SEC and Big Ten programs. And, you know, we've kind of seen that on the field. There's a little bit of parity within the conferences, you know, vis-a-vis Indiana winning the national championship. But then you watch JMU go to Oregon and you watch Tulane play Ole Miss, and, you know, they're just not in the same class right now, even though we still see an upset here or there in the non-conference. So I don't know, honestly, where this is headed. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a delineation between the haves and have-nots. It's only growing stronger and bigger.
ESPN's Jake Trotter joining us, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Jake, you mentioned the SEC. Who do you think plays in 2026, Joey Aguilar or Diego Pavia, or both?
Yeah, everybody's suing for more eligibility now.
It's a mess.
Yeah, I don't know. The Aguilar thing is just new, right? That just came out yesterday or today.
Yeah.
And the NCAA, you know, the way that they rule on these, you know, it usually takes forever for them to come to a decision. So I don't know how to answer that. I haven't read enough about the Aguilar case to have a good answer for you there. But yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen seventh year quarterbacks due to the COVID era. And you wonder if, you know, the JC eligibility, or, you know, we've seen with the G League and college basketball create different eligibility standards. Again, you ask me questions I don't know how to answer, because it's so unprecedented.
Well, I think the guys like Pavia and Aguilar coming back, or desiring to come back, Trinidad Chambliss putting that crew too. Part of this is the quest to win a championship. And a lot of people are under the belief right now that a more veteran, more seasoned roster is the way to go. Are you following that trend, or do you still think that you can get it done with maybe a less experienced roster built more off of high school guys who have been in the program for only a couple years?
Yeah, no, I think there is something to that. And we've seen some of these transfer, you know, heavily laden programs really perform in the postseason. I mean, part of it is such a long college football season now. You know, it used to be 11 games in a bowl game, and now, you know, you're playing 13, 14, 15, 16 games to win a national championship. And, you know, it's like with the NFL, you see these rookies, it's called the rookie wall for a reason, where you can play well for 8 or 9 games, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I'm only halfway through this season. And you see, you know, like Emeka Ogbuka, for example, had a phenomenal first half to the season. There were other factors in that, but it's not the first time you've seen a rookie play really well for half of an NFL season, and then, you know, maybe wane a little bit in the second half as the season really drags on. So yeah, I think, and the other part of it too, and we saw this with Ohio State, you signed this top 5 recruiting class. Well, like, how many guys did they lose from that recruiting class already? I don't have the number in front of me, but it was a significant number of recent signees that are already playing for another program. So yeah, like I think there is something to getting guys with experience. Experience matters in college football, especially at, like, say, the quarterback position, you know, where you've seen Will Howard and Mendoza, guys that have played a ton of football, really rise and play well in the playoffs. You know, even Carson Beck, you know, I thought played really well in the playoffs. You know, a guy that played a lot of football. So yeah, I think that you want to balance your team between getting premium young talent that you can develop on your own versus, all right, let's get some guys that have some experience here that, you know, can weather this season, you know, can really help our depth, and, you know, physically are ready to go for what has become, you know, such a grind in college football.
Jake, talking about recruiting, this used to be college football Christmas and National Signing Day, and now nobody even talks about it with the early signing day back in December. Do you miss it being on one day in February?
It was like a holiday, right? It was like an event. that was only, what, 5-10 years ago that it was such a big deal, the first Wednesday in February. And I used to, when I was doing college football before I moved to Cleveland, I would, you know, go to some of these recruiting signing ceremonies, especially the ones that had drama to them, and you're kind of trying to figure out what the recruiting class rankings were going to be, which it felt like mattered a whole lot more then than they do now, because of what I just said, where you lose some of these guys right off the bat anyway. I thought signing day used to be really cool, and now it just does not matter nearly in the same way, especially the second signing. I mean, honestly, I'd forgotten it even was today until you mentioned it. That this was that day, because it's just insignificant.
Yeah, we had Ryan Day on Friday doing just a show. We're like, why is he talking at the end of January? It's like, oh, it's the contractually obligated signing day show, but none of it was about signing day. It was more Arthur Smith and the coaching staff and the guys they brought in from the transfer portal. Jake, thanks so much for the time today, bud. Look forward to talking with you next week. Stay warm up there.
All right, tell Bo to get better. See you guys.
Will do. And he comes to us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Speaking yesterday to the media, the NFLPA interim director isn't thrilled with something that's probably going to happen. We'll tell you what he said in Thing or Not a Thing next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Bruce Thornton passes Michael Redd to become number 6 in the all-time scoring list. Just let that thought sink in for a minute, Jake.
It's an impressive name to pass, you know, an all-time great in this program. So, you know, it's Bruce has worked so hard, and, you know, it's been cool to see his name rise up those ranks, but you know, I think every time you see it, you're reminded of just some of the guy, the talent that's come through this program in past years.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium tours presented by Experience Columbus.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams and the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Jake, I'm asking you about Bruce Thornton and his escalation up the scoring list, but are we seeing lately just how his play, even outside of scoring, can be so impactful in so many different ways?
Yeah, well, he's proven to be a good defender, and we certainly need that right now. He's got to continue to read the game at a high level, be a playmaker for himself and for others. But, you know, his consistency and toughness is really important for our team, and he's got to continue to operate at a high level for us.
Can he be a guy defensively that can make it contagious for other people?
We're hopeful. Yeah, we're hopeful. He has at times this year, certainly. So we need more of that right now.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Hello, I'm Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag #BuckeyesCare.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
I'm Leslie.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, Uncle Bo is currently in bed, getting hydrated. Hopefully having some soup, getting his voice back. He's day to day.
What is soup supposed to do?
Soothe your throat and the muscles in there.
Yeah, I believe there's something with the warmth. And also, I think, I'm not sure about this, but the salt in the brine of like the chicken noodle soup back in the day was supposed to like help you heal and everything. So, I mean,
are you accusing soup of being a placebo?
Well,
Joshua Perry?
No, I'm just like, you know, you get sick and they're like, oh, eat some soup. And I'm sick, but I'm still hungry. So I drink bone broth.
Yeah.
When I'm sick, but I'd like to eat a real meal, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Like,
and I think that's the kind of the same properties, right? Except the soup has some chicken and some noodles in it and maybe some vegetables. But I get it. I think the bone broth usually helps as well. So
yeah,
soup when you're sick, thing or not a thing. Well, we're not going to do that.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Although we've still got about 10 minutes to get your Hey Guys questions in at 971BFS or on the YouTube chat. We've already got a good selection of them, but we need a couple more if we want to extend it for two segments.
We've got a couple really good ones on the YouTube chat too, I thought.
Yeah, so far you've understood the assignment, but we're going to need a little bit more if we want to extend that into the 11-17 segment. In an appearance on The Herd with Colin Cowherd Tuesday, USC head coach Lincoln Riley was asked what he likes about name, image, and likeness.
I think the parody. I think it's what you said. It's stories that wouldn't have happened before that are happening now. I mean, now there's not just one part of the country paying players. Everybody's able to do it. And it's a great thing, because I do think it's created a much more level playing field, and it's given schools the opportunity to really compete if they want to invest. And I think it's been a great thing for players. We all know there's still parts of it to be worked out. It's obviously not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination, but it has gotten better. There has been a lot of positives, and I think you're going to continue to see a lot of great stories, a lot of new opportunities for all different types of programs, which I think is really good for the sport as a whole.
Lincoln loving NIL, thing or not a thing?
I mean, I think this is a thing because you start to see the retention that they had and the recruiting class they brought in, which they're going to have to try to retain those guys. Like, certainly he's figured out a way to leverage that in a sense that makes sense to him. Also, the thing is the shade that he threw. Now it's not just part of the country paying players. And I really appreciate people getting more bold about talking about the cheating that used to go on in the sport.
It's interesting, though, that it's USC that's doing this, because I feel like USC and the right climate and the right coach has always been a team that's able to compete.
And cheat.
And yeah, so it's interesting that it's USC and Lincoln Riley throwing this out here. But I do think there is some validity to this. I also wonder, though, as we go along, though, if NIL is just going to change the people at the top, but the haves and have-nots are still going to have a huge separation. Right now, we're in the process of flipping that. But we've talked about there's only a handful of schools with the oil money that Texas Tech and Texas A&M has, and there's only a few amount of schools that can have a booster like Mark Cuban or a Larry Ellison that Michigan has. So I wonder if as we go through this and things go the way they are, especially with no rules or guardrails in place, if maybe it's not Alabama and Georgia and the SEC that are dominating everything, but there's just a little flip and we're still going to have the gap.
It's an interesting thought.
I might have done this wrong on the show sheet. Let's go with Commissioner Roger Goodell being asked about 18-game regular season back on Monday.
We have not had any formal discussions about it, and frankly, very little of any informal conversations. I've heard people talk about it in the context. It is not a given that we'll do that. It is not something that we assume will happen. It is something that we want to talk about with the union leadership. As you know, they're going through a transition, and hopefully that'll get solidified this spring. And as they determine their priorities, we are doing the same on the ownership level so that when we get together, we can address these issues together.
Speaking yesterday to the media in San Francisco, NFLPA interim director, to Commissioner Goodell's point, David White was asked about potentially playing an 18 regular season game. He said, quote, our members have no appetite for a regular season 18th game. Back in late January, this was Patriots owner Robert Kraft was on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, and he revealed three of the NFL's priorities from an ownership standpoint. A two-game preseason, international game for each team every season, and an 18-game regular season. Thing or not a thing?
Oh, well, I think it's a thing because the owners clearly want this, and Roger Goodell doesn't want to say anything too crazy, whatever, doesn't want to tip their hand, but this is something that the owners would want. They would want that 18th game. They mentioned the concession is we'll take another one of the preseason games off of the table, blase, blase, blah. The players have no interest. And what are you going to do about that? Like, the next time they have to go to the table and sit down and really hammer things out and figure out what their collective bargaining agreement's going to look like, it's going to be the biggest sticking point. It's going to be the point of contention. And I'm very curious to see when that time comes, what it looks like moving forward.
I mean, I think we all know this is coming, right? They've talked about it forever. They're going to go to 18 in just two preseason games. I think it's funny that Roger does like, we really haven't talked about it. That's BS. Come on now, you have. Robert Kraft's throwing tweets around saying what they're going to go to, and we haven't really talked about it. So I don't think this is much of a thing because I think we all have thought for 2 or 3 years now that this was the path we were heading.
Back on Sunday, in front of 15,513 fans at Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln, Nebraska, the ninth-ranked Illinois Fighting Illini beat the fifth-ranked Nebraska Cornhuskers 78-69. That game was broadcast on FS1. Fox Sports said earlier this week that delivered 1.37 million viewers, which is the network's most watched college basketball game ever. That's FS1. Thing or not a thing?
It's a thing, because a football game on FS1 is blowing that out of the water. It goes back to the conversation that we were having earlier. It feels like college football is the closest thing that we're going to get to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's everything else after that, and it puts collegiate athletics in a very weird spot about what they're going to do with all of it. But actually seeing the numbers out here and them celebrating this being the most watched game on their network really puts the context on how different the things are.
I think it's a thing. And what you say there, Joshua, is interesting, like the difference between football and everything else. But I think this is a thing because of what we talked about yesterday with NBC and how they're putting sports on the most watched night of television every week of the year this year, except for two, and they probably will end up putting sports on that night too with WNBA games. Sports moves the needle, and sports are happening no matter what. So somebody's going to have them on TV, and it's cheaper to have a live sports broadcast than make TV shows like you used to and make series. So this is the way TV is going. I would expect NBC, ABC, CBS to continue to just dump more money into sports programs.
from the What It's Worth department. Michigan's win over Michigan State this past Friday was on Fox. That drew 2.76 million viewers. That was the most watched Friday night college basketball game on Fox ever. It was a meeting between top 10 schools and a great atmosphere at the Breslin Center. But just to kind of buttress against your point, you guys answered the challenge. We're going to be able to do two segments of Hey Guys coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow at 3 p.m. On Tuesday, the Cavs dealt Darius Garland and a second-round pick to the L.A. Clippers in exchange for 11-time All-Star guard James Harden. He is unlikely to suit up for Cleveland tonight as the Cavs play at the Clippers at 10:30. Harden's missed the last two games for Los Angeles as he's been in trade discussions. Of course, the deadline tomorrow at 3. In college hoops, the 9th-ranked Ohio State women's squad begins a two-game West Coast road trip at number 24 Washington tomorrow night at 9. The Ohio State men's squad plays at Maryland tomorrow night at 8:30. And on the ice tonight at Nationwide, the Blue Jackets look to make it 7 straight, hosting the Blackhawks at 7 p.m. You can hear that game with coverage on The Fan at 6:30. It's the final game for the CBJ before the Olympic break. Jackets will return to action in Boston on February 26th. This update is sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit geteco.com and book today. Breaking sports news on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker with you for another hour. Still TBD on Bo's status for tomorrow. Day to day, dealing with that youth sports flu. Texted him yesterday asking if they'd found patient zero. He told me there are about 18 of them. I think that's one of the many dangers you have when coaching youth sports, as many teams as he does. It's survive in advance every single practice, every single game.
He's putting his life on the line for the youth of America.
The type of guy he is. Of course, you appreciate the effort, but we'd like to have him back here on this program. So we'll hopefully get him back for a Thursday edition. As you heard the update anchor, the Jackets have an opportunity to go into the break on a 7-game winning streak. No word on who's in net tonight for the CBJ against the Chicago Blackhawks, but we'll get an update from Jody Shelley. He will join us for some Shelley time coming up at 11:30. But I did ask throughout the program, and you guys delivered.
Bishop in.
And I delivered the wrong button.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag #HeyGuys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Great food, award-winning drinks, and something for everyone in the family. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
So no gift card for the program today, but the prize is hanging out with us. That's the present is our presence.
The pride. I mean, if you're going to do something, you might as well win, right? So it's the pride of winning.
Yeah.
I like that.
There you go. We'll start in the YouTube chat. Got this from Spoom04. Says, hey, guys, I want to renew my vows with my wife, and I have a couple of options, but I'm trying to figure out where. Cancun, when we go next month, Ohio Stadium, or Progressive Field, where the Cleveland Guardians play.
All right. So the way that I would answer this is, you need to remove the sports venues from consideration unless your wife is a bigger fan of those teams than you are. You can't do it. My wife has long told me that we cannot wrap our pleasure into sports any more than they're already tied together. And that's because of what I do professionally, but I think a lot of people probably feel that way. You're going to Cancun. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's international, beautiful beaches, drinks with umbrellas in them. That would be the obvious choice, in my humble opinion.
So, yeah, JP, I'm with you. Leave the sports venues out of it, unless that is something that really means something to both of you. And something that you do, something has been a lifeblood of your relationship. Unless it's something like that, I would leave it out of that. Maybe you met at a sports game or something. Maybe that's something. I know a couple people that have done this, renewed their vows, and it seems like the couple that I've known that have done that have done it wherever they had their honeymoon. So you could wrap it up into like a vacation, some nostalgia all in one. So I don't know where you had your honeymoon, but I would think that is a kind of a, if you're going to renew it, why not the place where it all started?
Connor asks in the YouTube chat, hey guys, some Christmas decorations are still out, like wreaths, garland, and just some Christmas items that sit on shelves. How long is Christmas decor allowed to stay out post December 25th?
I think if you're a reasonable person, you probably give yourself a little bit of leeway after the holidays, right? Like New Year's might feel like it's a little bit too close for some people. I totally get that. So maybe the middle of January, I think you're probably cooking. There was a time in my life where I could make it all year with the Christmas stuff still up. I just don't like the process of picking it up, putting it down. The real question here is how early is too early to start decorating for Christmas? Because my wife is a Halloween, immediately flip the house from Halloween to Christmas and erase Thanksgiving, which I don't appreciate. So I'd say 2 weeks after the holiday-ish, 2.5, 3 weeks, got to be packed up.
So I'm kind of, more the traditional, like, hey, day after Thanksgiving, throw them up. A couple weeks after, you want to enjoy the season a little bit more, that's okay. To me, that's my preference. But if you want to leave them up all year, the hell does that have to do with me? I don't care. You do you. If you want to pay that massive electric bill that some people had in January from having Christmas lights and decorations up all December, more power to you.
The Tyvis Powell $900 electric bill.
Yeah, you do you. If that's what you want to do, I'm fine with that. It doesn't bother me. It has no effect on my life. So if you feel like you want them up until July, go ahead. And if you have them up in July, like you said, why even take them down?
At that point, just finish the race.
Yeah, if they're up past Valentine's Day, I think what you could do, if you get, the lights that change colors, then just have them switch on and off for the different holidays. Like, and this is if you're truly about that life, you have, pink for Valentine's Day, green for St. Patrick's Day, maybe off in April, June, July, have red, white, and blue. what the heck?
Just leave lights all on holiday all year tree. Round.
And also, yeah, have a $900 energy bill for 12 months out of the year. Cardinal asks, hey guys, if you had to live in one environment all year long, would you rather have the last week of January weather or the last week of July weather?
It's a difficult one for me. I'd struggle with the question because I genuinely do appreciate living in a place that has all the seasons. I wish we had a little bit more spring, but I like having seasons. I would probably lean toward the summer than the winter. And I think the caveat there is if it's the same amount of sunlight that we have during the winter, it's a non-starter for me. I like having the longer days and more sun.
You make a good point with the longer days of daylight. That last week of July is usually a scorcher.
Oh, it's brutal.
Like it's 90s, feeling like 105, and I'm just not built for that, JP. I've said all along I was built for San Diego, not Texas.
Yeah.
So I think I'm in the minority here, but I'm going to go the last week of January. I don't want to overheat.
Yeah, cook me, Daddy. Give me the last week in July. we'll go to Twitter. Nick asks, hey, guys.
I feel like that's going to end up on a drop.
Cook me, Daddy is crazy.
Cook me, Daddy.
Nick asks, hey, guys, with the Olympics coming up, if you could participate in one event, what would it be? You did track and field in high school at an elite level.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to get a winter thing in here. Cross-country skiing, sign me up. I don't know what the hell it's about. Sounds like it's a bunch of fun. Never skied before. So I'll just learn.
So maybe it's because of the movie Cool Runnings when I was growing up. I always thought it would be fun to do the bobsled or like that single person luge that they do where they're just on that sled out in the open. I'm sure it's dangerous as heck. And there's probably a good chance that I could die. But I think that would be so fun.
I couldn't do any of the speed events in terms of the Winter Olympiad. Like the bobsled, the skeleton, the speed skating, just because that I don't think I could. I mean, hockey, I don't think I could get on ice that quickly, and I would likely die. The biathlon, I think, would always be would just be a fun event to do. Now, you wouldn't want to give me a real gun with real bullets, so maybe like an airsoft gun I can just have and, you know, trudge around on skis and then lay down and try to hit the target. That of the Olympic events, just as I digress a little bit, is one of those that you find yourself glued to when you've got nothing else to watch and there's just Olympics on. You're like, what the hell are they doing? And it's like the Sweden team that's always really good at that sort of
amazing
thing. We'll go back to the YouTube chat for our last one of this segment. Baker, have the button ready. Chimney Chequa's burner.
Chimney Chequa
asks, hey guys, of all the show trios on The Fan, who would win a bar trivia contest?
This feels like a Anthony Rothman carrying some trivia for Rothman and Ice. I enjoy trivia. I feel like I'm solid at it. So I could be a ringer for whatever show would want to bring me in. I know I've been with you guys for a little while. I enjoy being a part of this team. If you guys would have me, I'd do it.
So I recently did a trivia competition with Scotty Vegas and Jeff Tito Thidoff that our team, there were some other people around, but our team won that night. Rothman was the first person that I would have thought of for this. And I think Cole's a pretty smart dude too.
Don't say that out loud.
Maddie is slick. I would have faith in our trio, whatever form of it would be. But I got to tell you, Tito kind of carried our team that night.
He's a machine.
And Bobby is a pretty big history buff.
Yeah, he is.
And Bodie's not a dumb guy. He's a smart guy as well. So I think I would go with the Morning Juice crew.
It's a good pull.
I think it is Morning Juice. Because not only Bob's a history buff, but Bob would crush it on all the little dumb things that nobody else has any idea about.
And
the general would know.
No offense to Bodie. If Shark was still in the equation, hands down, that's not even a question.
The Shark was the most robotic in terms of just general sports knowledge, and like him and Tito would crush all of us. All right, so you guys answered the bell, so we'll have more Hey Guys coming up for you. Also, James Harden, his status for tonight, and then we'll do some Shelly time coming up at 11:30. Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's 2020.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And ice. I feel like this is part of how GMs think. I think this way in fantasy. I imagine in reality it works somewhat similar.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies for us today, but chilly. Temperatures only getting into the mid-20s. And then for tonight, partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the single digits. For Thursday, expect partly sunny skies, but daytime highs a little bit cooler as we only get into the 20s with light winds. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, before we get back into your Hey Guys, Eric Reeser, Joshua Perry, Ryan Baker, we're going to have Jody Shelley on here in about 12 minutes. We'll do some Shelley time before the Jackets have their final game in advance of the Olympic break. We got the Blackhawks at Nationwide Arena at 7 o'clock, Fan pregame 6:30. It doesn't look like or feel like Elvis is going to go. He had a shutout last night, and then I think he alluded to his focus moving towards playing for Team Latvia in the Olympic Games. Interestingly enough, Latvia and United States, I think, are in Group C for the Olympics. I think they open against each other next Thursday afternoon.
Hmm.
I want to say is when that game is. So you have Zach taking on Elvis. And, you know, what we saw, Joshua, with the Four Nations tournament was just such a groundswell of support for hockey from the casual fans,
mm-hmm.
right? When you put USA or Team America on anything, like, you're going to get, you know, just that much more coverage. I think it's such a good opportunity for guys like Z, for guys like Elvis, to represent their country in this. But I also think the Blue Jackets can kind of ride into that momentum and then come out of that Olympic break on February 26th in Boston with more momentum to carry them to an actual playoff push.
I mean, the momentum is going to be key. And when we talked to Jody Yester, is one of the things I asked him. He's like, I think they'll be able to pick it back up.
Yeah.
The reset is going to be good for a lot of these guys. So very excited to see what their response is going to be like after they take the break. And then to the point that you made about the pride that you feel, like, I think part of this is we're in a time in the calendar right now specifically where it's like, what's really attracting my attention? And when you have that American flag on anything, people are going to be like, I'm going to invest a little bit of time here. So I'll be curious to see how many people are like locked in. I'll be able to judge by my timeline on Twitter, but I'm very excited.
And that's another one of those things is where, you know, Team USA hockey or Olympic anything really does kind of take over the timeline for social media. I'm going to try to, this is going to be an ambitious ask for me tonight, because you have the Jackets at 7, then you've got Cavs Clippers at 10:30. And this is probably the second or third time this season that I'm actually going to have myself in front of a television as soon as the Cavs and Clippers go.
Okay.
Because of what happened yesterday with Los Angeles sending James Harden to Cleveland in exchange for Darius Garland and a 2026 second round pick. It doesn't look like Harden's going to be playing. At least it's trending in that direction. He missed the last two games for the Clippers' personal issues, but he was a trade chip. So you're not going to put him out there because you don't want to risk him getting injured. This does feel like too quick of a turnaround, but I kind of just want to see how the vibes are with both of those teams. You're not going to get Garland because he's out with the other toe, is injured on his other foot. He's only played 26 games this season, Darius has. We've got 44 games out of Harden, I think, out of a possible 47 games for the Clippers. So I think that's the biggest thing for me when I look at this trade, as I go, in that position that's so important to be kind of the running mate to Donovan Mitchell, who can I count on to be in the game that you're going to need, in the games that you're going to be needing to play later on in the season?
Availability is the best ability.
Yeah,
it's what everybody talks about. And so for all the people who feel bad about this trade, and a lot of it is because of what they project in the future for Garland, for the here and now,
sure,
you've got a guy who is very productive, who's going to be available. And I think that's as valuable as anything when you're working with the tight window.
We'll go back and do some hey guys, because you guys answered the bell when I asked for more hey guys into the YouTube chat. We'll still do some if I get them live, if I'm quick enough to the trigger to read them. But I got this from Phil. Hey guys, the fans opening for dinner. Fish has installed a full kitchen and dining room to serve all. Who at the station is the head chef, bartender, dishwasher, host, or server? And what's the main dish? I'll just start with the head chefs, probably the common man and Dom.
Okay.
You get pizza and pasta.
You can ask common man, because I've brought him some treats from my kitchen.
Okay.
Your boy knows how to cook.
So your dessert?
I could do anything.
All right.
Involving, mixing it up in the kitchen. I'm in.
I think Bo Bishop's the bartender, right? That's a guarantee. Common man. I didn't know we were going to 10 TV personnel, but yeah, Dom would be in
here.
There.
Like, if we had a dinner with the fan, you think Dom's not going to show up?
If that's the case, then Adam King is going to be the maitre d'. He's going to
be the host.
Yeah, front of the house.
Do you want him being the first person?
I don't know, but he wears a suit.
Okay.
He does his hair nice, and he knows how to talk to people, so it feels like a perfect fit.
Let's see. So those would be the head chefs.
I was going to say Maddie's your host. Like, Maddie's the guy that you get to greet you on the walk-in.
I think that's AR. Maybe both of them,
okay,
but AR is a man of the people.
I don't know. Maddie Ice working behind a bar feels like it's right, just from the personality. He gives you some good advice. You have some laughs with him. Like, enjoy your time.
He'd be a good
sitting at the bar.
Ear to lean on.
Yeah.
So he would be Uncle Bo's bar back, basically?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I like that. Obviously, if Dom and Common Man are cooking, what's going to be something Italian is the is the main course.
Something for
there,
enough
for
people.
Sure.
Like, you're not fixing
family style.
Yeah. I feel like Tito's the dishwasher. Tito should be the dishwasher for sure.
I'll say that Tito and I are back there scrubbing dishes. I would bring nothing
would
to
never,
the table about this.
I would never
this.
Throw you in there.
I'm the one listening to Tito the whole time.
Can we get significant others? Because then your girlfriend is the chef.
So
then.
She's a professionally trained pastry chef. But I don't think I would introduce her to all of you. And by all of you, I mean my coworkers.
I think that's fair. I think that's actually a fair take.
And the thing about it is, so she, a professionally trained chef, went to the Culinary Institute of America, worked in kitchens in New York for a couple of years, did not come out of it with a good, did not love the experience.
Oh.
Went back to school and now is a chemistry PhD at Ohio State.
Didn't love the experience of the training or the experience of actually
working in kitchens.
So I've heard that is, it's a lifestyle more than a career. Is what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lifestyle that drains you.
Yeah. Yes. Like you got to be up for the challenge to want to do that.
Like the bear, she told me didn't do it justice. Just how much it runs people down that specific industry. I wouldn't want our group of idiots yapping at her about food.
I would say I think.
I love her too much.
I think Panama Ted would be a great server. Panama Ted would be awesome serving.
So serve it or serve her?
Server.
Because I wonder, you've got to be a good server, you've got to be, and it's the same thing with the host, you've got to be personable, you've got to be able to remember orders.
Right.
And does Panama Ted fit that for you?
Panama Ted would definitely remember. See, I was thinking about Timmy for the server, but I feel like he'd be distracted too easy and talk to everyone a little
too
much.
You never get your damn food.
No, yeah.
Here's what I was going to say. Myself, Tito, Timmy, and Ted are back there washing dishes. You don't see us. You don't hear from us. We're exactly where we need to be to have this a successful dinner. if you're trying to make money, that's, I think, the way you got to go with this.
Man, you just put yourself with Tito and Timmy.
I'm taking one or several for the team. Have that button ready, Baker. Chimney Chuck was burner chimes in again.
Chimney Chiqua.
I like this because he says, if New England wins the Super Bowl, could it be considered a continuation of one of the long dynasties, given that there would be less of a gap between the last two than there were between Brady's third and fourth Super Bowl?
I think part of the dynasty is the characters that have created it, and nobody's there anymore.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying from a time that's past standpoint, but this is a totally new era for New England Patriots football.
It's crazy to think that it's been since, 2018? 2017? Something like that for them? And that's a shorter amount of time between Brady's first two and then the second run. That's amazing. But I'm with you, JP. The only character that's the same is Robert Kraft.
Right.
And, I mean, we all know who Robert Kraft is, but he's kind of in the back. He's not a Jerry Jones-type owner where he's out there in front of everyone. So, yeah, this is a new team. This is a new head coach. This is a new quarterback. So I don't think it's a continuation.
The Face of Ohio chimes in on the YouTube chat. Hey, guys, breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast?
I could eat breakfast for dinner every day of the week. Breakfast food is undefeated. My favorite. When I was a kid, when we would have breakfast for lunch at school, I felt like I could cry. That's how happy I would be. And then I'd go home, and some nights my mom would be like, oh, yeah, we're doing pancakes and bacon. Yes, absolutely. All day long. Every meal. I could do it every meal.
I'm with you. Breakfast is undefeated. Eggs.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Yep.
Any kind of potato.
Yes.
How you want to throw it in there. I even like throwing steak and eggs together
sure.
a lot. So, yeah, breakfast anytime.
Breakfast food any time of the year, any time of the day, any time of the month, any time of the year. Not the same about dinner. I did want to ask you about this because this was last month. We did a Hey Guys where you could pick only one film catalog, either Vince Vaughn's or Will Ferrell's.
Oh, God. I'm going with Vince Vaughn because I hate Will Ferrell.
Oh.
I don't think he's that funny. Like, I think he's funnier in a Saturday Night Live type of environment than he is in a movie. It's just overkill for me. He does too damn much.
I didn't go as far as I hate Will Ferrell, but I think Will Ferrell is better as a number two than a number one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And Vince Vaughn's got better movies.
Four Christmases is...
That's a Christmas movie every year I watch.
Same here. It is hilarious.
Yeah, so I think we're all on the same page with that. I think I could have seen you be a Vince Vaughn person, but I didn't expect the hotness or the heat you feel for Will Ferrell. We will get a little cooler with Jody Shelley. We'll do some Shelley time coming up next. Bishop and Friends on
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921.
They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
One bleach with my floor cleaner would take the stain out.
When my youngest ate the dog's medicine, that was a new one.
I was trying to protect my garden, but I accidentally sprayed myself with pesticide.
So I called 1-800-222-1222, the poison helpline.
A poison expert helped me figure out what to do next.
I was connected to someone who spoke Spanish.
They answered my questions.
It was free.
It was confidential.
It was real help in real time.
Keep the poison experts in your pocket. 1-800-222-1222.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The gloves. It's Shelly time.
We got to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline to the ice at Nationwide Arena and find Jody Shelley preparing to call the final game before the Olympic break. Jody, you've got a reunion tonight in the booth doing the game for the first time and I think a long time with Jeff Rimmer. When you were first paired with Rims doing Blue Jackets hockey for then Fox Sports Ohio, now FanDuel Sports Network, what was the first thing you remember about just meeting him and then doing your first game with Rims?
Well, I'd known Jeff for a long time as a player. So, you know, we had a pretty good relationship as far as player broadcaster because, you know, he traveled with the team. Yeah, I mean, when I first got in the booth with them, I was with Billy Davidge and Jeff, and, you know, they're just two ultimate pros. They treated me so well. I was between the benches as a third guy. I thought I knew how to broadcast and what I was doing, but looking back, I had no idea. And they helped me along. He was so great. I'm looking forward to tonight. It's actually been, according to Jeff, 1 year and 9 months since we broadcasted a game together. He's got it down to a science. He's got every detail for tonight ready to go. And I'm looking forward to it. He's very excited. He's such a passionate Blue Jackets and Columbus, Ohio fan and community member that he's going to give it his all here tonight. Yeah, I've been waiting for this for 4 months.
I heard you and Mears talking about it last night on the broadcast of the Jackets and the Devils, how I think Mears made the joke. He probably walked up from Florida just to call this game tonight in terms of his excitement. Would've. Jody, when you were a player and Rims is broadcasting and traveling with you guys, do you have a story that you can tell on the air?
Ooh. Well, yeah, of course. I always do. Now, and we all know that Jeff is a name dropper, or he's got a pretty good reputation for being a name dropper. I remember vividly getting on the bus, and, you know, Jeff's always on the bus early. And the way it works is the hotel, the bus is at 10 for an 11:30 skate. You go there, you get on the bus, and you sit and wait. And as we get on the bus, Jeff Rimmer is sitting there, and there's probably 12 guys on the bus already. And I sit towards the back, and the broadcasters sit towards the front. And Jeff is on the phone, and he's talking very loudly, and he's saying, "All right, Dennis Potvin," who's a Hall of Fame defenseman in the National Hockey League and a good friend of Jeff. And then he continues, and we're sitting back there, and he goes, you can hear his conversation, "Is that right, Dennis Potvin?" And then you hear him at the end of the conversation, he says, "Okay, Dennis Potvin, I'll talk to you later." And you know, Jeff, he's a great-hearted, warm-hearted guy. And I was, a bit of a, I like to stir it up from the back of the bus. So we're all sitting there. Jeff hangs up the phone and I say, "Hey, Jeff, who was that?" He goes, "That was Dennis Potvin." So I set the bait and he took the hook there on that. And, you know, he was always a good time. So we all had a big chuckle about that. Like, we knew who it was, but he's just always involved. And another one was, if you have time for it, he always talked about Larry King. You know, he's buddies with Larry King. And so we go to L.A. Every time we went to L.A. for 10 years, he would say the same thing. Larry King is having breakfast at, I forget the name of the restaurant in Beverly Hills, every morning. We should go see him. So finally, this one morning, you get to L.A. I can't sleep because of time change. I'm up. The elevator stops. It's like 6 in the morning. There's Jeff getting on the elevator. He's already had 3 coffees. And he's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm going to go get breakfast." I said, "Why don't we go see Larry King?" And he was like, "Do you want to?" I said, "Yeah, let's go." This was like the second to last year. So he calls Billy Zito, who was assistant general manager at the time. And because Billy was kind of in my boat, "Do you really know Larry King?" And anyways, we got in an Uber and we drove across town 30 minutes. We walked in a restaurant, and sitting in the corner was Larry King. And all he did was turn his head and look at Jeff like he saw him the night before and said, "Jeff Rimmer, how you doing, buddy?" And we sat there for 3 hours and talked with Larry King. It was absolutely incredible. He's a name dropper, but he's got great relationships with so many people in sports.
I mean, that's just an amazing story. My experiences with Rimmer have been absolutely hilarious, so I know that you've probably got so many more that you can't tell on air. But I wanted to ask you, going back to last night, I feel like with this hot team we're watching right now, we learned something new every time we see them. What would be the biggest takeaway from what we saw last night?
You know, JP, and that's the most important thing, right? I mean, that to me, a team that figures out different ways to win and different roles and go through situations like last night, which was unique. Teams that use the regular season to do that have more success. Last night, you learned that they have a confidence in a game where, as an athlete, individually to a man, there was no flow to that game. There was no feel-good shifts for the first two periods. And, you know, as you can get frustrated, you can take a lot of penalties. You can put yourself in an area where you're trying to take chances, which opens up the game, which is exactly what New Jersey wanted the Blue Jackets to do, and they didn't. They stuck with their game. And, you know, talking to Rick Bowness after, I think, you know, we've done, 11 press conferences with him now, maybe 10. Or scrums after, I sense that, you know, and a lot of them, he would say, "Oh, we have to keep going. There's stuff we have to work on. There's stuff we have to clean up." He was very pleased with how they stuck with the game plan last night. And that is a huge step. That is important, especially as, you know, you round out into this last game, into the break. You're going to feel good about kind of your baseline as a player of how you have to play and what's expected in those situations.
Jody, I was watching the game in the third period last night, and the Jackets have the 2-0 lead, and there was a play where the puck came to the near wall to a New Jersey player in the Blue Jackets offensive zone. And in the past, Kent Johnson might not have even been on the ice. He might have been sitting on the bench and somebody from the fourth line was in his spot. But Kent Johnson, he didn't retreat. He made a simple play where he came up and just stick checked, knocked the puck deeper into the zone. And the Jackets were able to corral it and keep it in that zone probably for about 30 or 40 more seconds, which meant New Jersey didn't have the puck. We would not have seen that earlier in the year. Is that Rick Bowness telling the guys to do that, or is that just a Kent Johnson playing with confidence right now and making plays?
I think it's a combination. I think there's a confidence level. You know, I think when he's getting 5 or 6 minutes like he was previously, every time he went over the boards, he was trying to do too much. You know, you look at your stat line from last year, career high for him, and then you go into this year and you're like, how do I get there? Okay, next shift I have to do something. Next shift I have to think goal. Now he's confident because he's getting more minutes and he's getting that role. But also that's an understanding of what it takes to win and what, you know, what other guys are doing ahead of you the previous shift. You're following. You're part of the group. You're bought into the team concept. It's not about you and your stats and these wins. It's about players just kind of sticking with it. And when there is that opportunity, and you look at it, different guys have broken open. But yeah, that's a great observation. That's how you win hockey games, right? That's not making a toe drag at the wrong time or trying to flip that doesn't work, a soft play, we call it. It's pretty much putting your nose over the puck and making sure that the goal is and the focus is to get it deep. I think it's a combination of Rick Bowness. I think Dean Evason, the previous coach, was trying to get that out of Kent Johnson. But I also think that Rick Bowness does it in a way that Kent Johnson responds to it. You know, he gets it. He understands it in a way that he's on his level.
Blue Jackets and Blackhawks tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have pregame coverage on The Fan at 6:30. Jody Shelley's going to be calling the game for FanDuel Sports Network with Jeff Rimmer tonight. He's also, you're going to have, I guess this is, I'm stealing this from Jeff Svoboda, two Blue Jackets legends in the building with Rims on the call and then Nick Foligno in the Blackhawks lineup. Jody, what do you expect from this Chicago squad, considering last time I think Charlie Coyle had 3 goals last time these two teams met?
Yeah. Well, they're a dangerous opponent. You know, they have a lot of skill, and they have a lot of fight, and they're well coached. And they have good leadership, obviously, with Foligno. Yeah, he's in the building. I'm not sure if he's going to be playing. Now, last game in Chicago, Chicago was in Pittsburgh the night before, just like the Blue Jackets last night played. And we were waiting in Chicago, which is a nice way to go to Chicago. You spend the night before having a nice dinner, relaxing, watching the game on TV, waiting for them to come back to their city. Well, that's exactly what Chicago did last night. They were here, waiting, rested. So, you know, it evens out in the long run. But for the Blue Jackets now, I expect them to have a great start because usually on a back-to-back, you're fired up. It's a home game. It's going to be, you know, you want to get the building rocking. So I expect a good start from the Blue Jackets, but you can't overlook the Blackhawks. They've got some stars like Bedard on their team. And if Foligno's in, you know, he wants to put on a show. So we'll it'll be an entertaining evening here at Nationwide Arena.
Matthew Olivier had a pair of goals last night. Who do you like to click tonight, Jody?
Oh, baby. I thought Paul Sillinger had a heck of a game. You know, I thought he had a great game last night. Just doing a lot of really good things around the puck. But I'm going to go with Werenski. He's heading to the Olympics. He's at home for the last game before he heads out. He's got to be kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out. But I expect him, if he can find some room tonight, I'm going to go with the safe bet, and that's Zach Werenski.
Jody, what's your plan for the Olympic break? What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be hanging out. Nice. I'm going to be hanging out. There's 3 weeks here. I'm going to hang out with my kids, and we're supposed to go to a hockey tournament in Lake Erie, but my daughter's got a little bit of an injury, so we're not doing that. So just spend time with the kids and enjoy not getting on a plane. But you never know. I could be on a plane here at some point quickly, too.
All right, bud. Well, we enjoyed having you on with us. We enjoyed, as always,
Getting
some time to talk with you about Jeff Rimmer stories we can always make time for. Enjoy the night tonight. Enjoy being back on the call with Rims. Enjoy the time off, and we'll touch base, I think, the 26th when they're in Boston?
I think so, yeah. We'll.
All right, bud.
We'll talk to you then. We'll worry about today.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
This
we'll
game.
Talk to you later.
And Jody joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. A How to Survive the Winter, officially endorsed from Joshua Perry. Next, Bishop and Friends.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Football Impact Report is brought to you locally by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. On the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Ohio State Football. Impact Report.
Certainly all kind of different thoughts and plans go into trying to put together a recruiting class, whether it's through high school or transfer portal. But when it comes to getting linemen on both the offensive and defensive side of things, Ohio State's general manager, Mark Pantone, talks about the emphasis that they put into play.
If you're trying to go into the portal for O-lineman or D-lineman one, it's supply and demand. It's a low supply and a high demand. There's certain schools that have no price tag for those type of guys, so that's not somewhere where you want to get stuck in and try to fix a problem just because it's going to be very expensive. You're going to have to overpay just like in the NFL with free agency. So we want to do a great job in the high school world, get them here, develop them, and avoid that.
Some of who they've added from the high school world, Max Riley from Avon Lake, Tucker Smith from Sandra Day O'Connor in Phoenix, and Mason Wilhelm, a second-generation Buckeye. This report brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. This is Paul Keels on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield. Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
When it comes to all-wheel drive vehicles, nobody gives you more to choose from than Toyota, including the best-selling Camry and the best-selling RAV4.
You've also got Toyota's five brothers, which include the best-selling Tacoma and the legendary new 4Runner.
All-wheel drive gives you the traction you need for confident driving on any road, in any weather.
With 25 different all-wheel drive choices, there's only one thing you need to know.
Nobody knows all-wheel drive better than Toyota. Let's go places.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
And I'm just seeing this from ESPN. A TRO has been granted for Volunteers quarterback Joey Aguilar in a bid for extra eligibility. So a temporary restraining order in his lawsuit against the NCAA as he seeks the extra year. Ruling was granted Wednesday. He filed suit in Knox County, so that's in Tennessee. I think we discovered last week, Baker, that the mayor of Knox County, none other than Kane.
He should chokeslam this.
He's chokeslamming the NCAA straight to hell is what he's doing with this. Which, no, it's not a great thing for college football. The Daily Fan Poll, Joshua, I had no desire to talk about this today, but it asked, did you watch any of last night's Pro Bowl games?
Wait, the Pro Bowl was last night?
Yeah, the flag football thing.
In the convention center.
Hmm. So Jamar Chase playing defensive back?
Yeah, no, I saw Jamar Chase drop a ball from Shador. That was the only clip I watched.
By the way, could you imagine if Jamar Chase, when he does that flip into the end zone, if his knee gives out, the outrage from Bengals fans this morning?
Imagine if his ankle explodes. Yeah, right.
90% of the respondents to the Daily Fan poll are with the three of us. No. But I will say this to the NFL. The clips that were aggregated did enough, I think, to make up for any not actual watching of the thing.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on that. Like, I yes, probably you got the content you desire.
Chatter, yeah.
But, I mean, what are you actually doing? How much does that event cost to put on? It's probably it's a drop in the bucket for them, but I'm sure they're kind of looking at it like, okay, at some point.
It's content to put on the air. It's probably better, more viewed, or maybe as viewed similarly in terms of eyeballs as a college basketball game, and maybe a little bit more than cornhole.
I would guess it's probably not as much now that they've incorporated with the Super Bowl and everybody's out there in one spot than maybe if they were flying everyone to Orlando or Hawaii like they used to. But
I mean, now they got to run a convention center, though.
I thought they would just use like the ball. Or they just do it in Radio Row. Just have all the radio stations set up and then try to play a football game around that.
They got to dodge the radio.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Playing on the old AstroTurf.
It's better than probably what they were doing. All right. It's a first Friday. We got to give you Joshua Perry's Surviving the Winter officially endorsed.
Bishop and Friends present First Friday. Officially endorsed. Because everyone deserves two Fridays.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
Alrighty, well, I've had a couple of go-to drinks here in the winter, and they're not like super wintry drinks, but the first one, and I caught this one at an airport lounge on a long travel day, just had a taste for it, scotch and soda. It's become my thing, and it's really simple. Pour scotch to your liking. I like something a little bit more peaty. Fill it up however much you want. Top it off with the soda. Squeeze of lemon is my preference in there for the citrus. Nice, easy one. Similar deal there. It's kind of like a poor man's mojito. I'll take some dark rum. Again, pour it up however you like. A little bit of soda on top of that. Splash a simple syrup. Squeeze you a lime, and now you're cooking.
And that, my friends, is how you properly survive the frigid temperatures as we go in. This is the first Friday. You get into your weekend.
One, two, three
things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Now, first thing for me, just because I have it up in my face, from Jeff Swoboda, Jackets Insider, Kirill Marchenko's skating tonight. He missed last night's game with an illness. Rick Bonus says that if he feels good later this afternoon, he'll be in the lineup. Jet Greaves is going to get the nod in net. Elvis Merzlikins looking to that representation for Team Latvia in next week's Olympic Games. Like, this is going to be the next couple of weeks really, really awesome from a sports viewing perspective. You've got Jackets tonight, then you've got Ohio State basketball, then you've got the Super Bowl, then you've got the Olympics. We're in a pretty good time right now to just stay inside and do nothing.
I mean, the weather is telling you to stay inside and do nothing, too. So not bad at all. All right. My first thing, it's got to be a unique experience for my kid. He's almost 2 years old, and he'll flip on the TV and he'll watch the feed here. And he's seen me do my other job. But he's also seen Uncle Tyvus on the feed here and Uncle Tyvus doing his other jobs. So he's used to seeing his dad and his dad's friends on TV. So I'm watching King of Queens last night. Deacon Palmer, tall black dude, got a little facial hair on there. And James looks at me and says, there's Uncle Tyvus. And it took me out. It was hilarious, guys.
Oh, that's too good. I love that one. My first thing, I know that newspapers have been going the way of the dodo bird just going away and going bye-bye. But kind of sad to see what's happening with the Washington Post today as they've cut all of their sports staff. They've had some of the best writers over the years at their newspaper, and I always think of Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, who came from there when they did the, and then started PTI, and obviously have become what they have become. Bailey Johnson, who used to work here for the Columbus Dispatch covering the Blue Jackets, she was there covering the Capitals now. It's funny where we live in a world where it seems like everybody wants to put sports on TV, yet these newspapers, which I know they've switched over to digital, are cutting sports staffs left and right. And it's kind of sad that it's just such a business where these people who are super uber talented are losing their jobs just because it doesn't fit the bottom line. I hate that for all of them, and I hope all of them land on their feet. I'm sure they will, because they're the best of the best.
I want to give a thank you to everybody who listens every single day, who interacts with the YouTube chat, who chimes in on Twitter. This is really only an industry thing, but Barrett Sports Media ranked Bishop and Friends the sixth best mid-market sports radio midday show of 2025. So we can't do this without all of you, and so we thank you for that support. And a congratulations to the show that follows us, Rothman and Ice, fifth best in 2025. So we've got some catching up to do, Bacon, this next year.
Top five next year.
You guys have earned it. You guys have earned it. All right, my second thing, started off the show talking about what to do and what not to do on an actual airplane. There's a second part of this course. Maybe it should be the first part. What to do in the airport. Okay, so let's walk with a little urgency. Put a little pace in how you're moving, a little pep in your step. And then you have to be prepared to go through security. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise that security is there and now you're scrambling to get all of your stuff together so you can put it on the belt. We should just know this. Walking into the airport, you're going to have to go through the security line.
It does baffle me how many people act like they've flown for the first time. And maybe some of them are flying.
They can't all be
first
time.
Not all of them. You mentioned Rothman and Ice. They're coming up next. They've got a big show for you. Adam Schefter coming up at 12:30. Also a little hockey and hounds on a game day with Zach Warinsky. That was Jody's click to pick, or pick to click, excuse me. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
That'll be the final thing from us. We've got to step aside for that program, who is fifth in regards to mid-market midday shows. Rightfully deserved. Joshua, this was so much fun to do. Thank you for being available.
Of course.
We are so much better for having you on this station in whichever time slot you happen to be in.
Safe travels to San Francisco today.
Appreciate you guys.
Hope the flight goes well. Again, Rothman and Ice coming up next. Bishop and Friends, we're back tomorrow. Boat TBD, 9 to noon on The Fan.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight's as man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
I wish I'd...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call 1-800-FIRST.